It's time for Benedictine Raven football on your local sports authority, CARE 93.7 FM, part of the MSC Radio Network. Streaming free on the MSC Radio app and online at mscsports.net. Kick off the new season with a visit to an old friend, Mueller's Locker Room. Since 1988, Mueller's has been Atchison's original sports bar and grill, serving up great food, cold beer, and all your favorite spirits. Whether you're hanging out in the dugout or relaxing on the deck, Mueller's is the place to be. Locally owned and operated, it's been the hot spot for good times for over 30 years. Mueller's Locker Room, 120 South 2nd in Atchison, your sports bar for all seasons. You're listening to Benedictine Raven Football on your local sports authority, CARE 93.7, part of the MSC Sports Radio Network. The Amberwell Pregame and Bank of Atchison Coaches Show featuring head Raven football coach Joe Osborne starts right after these messages.
Do you know how to recognize a phone scam? At Union State Bank, we're focused on keeping your financial future secure, and that means providing the information you need to keep your accounts protected. There are several red flags that can help you recognize a scam, such as a request for sensitive information or the promise that you'll get a prize. You can learn more about how to recognize a phone scam at mybankusb.com or visit one of our 8 convenient USB locations for valuable information about how to protect your assets. NMLS 654946, Equal Housing Lender, Member FDIC.
We've got head coach Joel Osborne with us before this afternoon's Raven game. And first of all, coach, congratulations. Another great win for the club last week.
Yeah, I appreciate it, Tom. I thought our guys came out and played excellent in all three phases. You know, you look at, we get a blocked punt, two blocked field goals defensively, holding those guys down. You know, they had a shutout through the first half, and they're a good offense. They got some really good skill, good quarterback with experience, and then if you look at how we played offensively, I thought we were really solid. We had a few drives where we didn't get much out of it, but other than that, we were moving the ball and getting scores and creating big plays. And it was really good to see us create explosive plays opposite of Jacob Gathright, because he was getting double teamed the whole game. So Jackson was able to find some other guys. I think Jayshon Todd really came out and benefited from that. And you could tell he was back to his old self, how explosive he was.
Let's talk about something that your team has done all year. Even more so in the last couple of games, it's got to make life better. Jumping out to these big early leads. I mean, that is such a game changer.
Yeah, it is. It gives you a lot of confidence. It puts a lot of doubt in the opponent. And it just shows that our preparation's been there, you know, and our kids have been locked in and not overlooking anybody. And the big thing we've talked about this year is win the moment. And that just means taking it one rep at a time, you know, one series at a time, one game at a time, one day at a time, and trying to play to our standard no matter who we're playing. And that's been a really good thing. We've got a very mature team, and those guys have been really big about that.
Talked about Jayshon. You mentioned in the pregame last week that he's kind of backing out at 100%, and we saw just how good he is last week. And it's kind of funny with a guy like him who wasn't at 100% and was still really, really good. I mean, it's just kind of phenomenal to see how well he is able to play and what a contributor he was, and a conference player of the week.
Yeah, for sure. And he, you know, he came out and I thought he had a great week of practice heading into the game. And we put some stuff in that would single him up on their safety, and he really took advantage of that. And Jackson was able to find him, and I thought Jayshon just made some key plays for us. That corner post corner route before half. You know, we've been struggling in the middle eight, meaning the last 4 minutes of the first half, the first 4 minutes of the second half, where we haven't been getting points. We've been allowing points and allowing teams to hang in the game. And you look at our last 4 minutes of the half, we scored a touchdown, get a stop, two-minute drive, get a field goal. And so that was a big deal. And Jayshon sparked that both in his touchdown catch and his punt return that set us up in good field position. So, you know, I thought he had a really strong day. He's one of our leaders. You know, he's a dynamic guy, and he's been battling an ankle injury all year from the Morningside game, and been playing through it. But, yeah, he was able to heal up with the bye week, and that really showed last week.
Love seeing how Witherspoon's running the ball. I think that he's continuing to build confidence and get better and better. Love that one little run where he got to the edge and got into the end zone, you know, to the left side, you know, in the game. Yeah, I'm very impressed with how he is continuing to progress.
Yeah, he's a great leader for us. He's tough. He's physical. You know, he understands what we're doing. He's very assignment sound. And so he has played very consistent this year. I've been proud of him for that. And, you know, just looking forward to seeing him continue to grow.
This conference race is zipping right along, man. And today we've got a longtime opponent for Benedictine, you know, an OG in the conference here at Missouri Valley. Trouble is, some of the fans, if they've been just recent fans to, you know, college football at this level, they don't understand the heritage, tradition, and history that Missouri Valley brings. This is historically a really, really good club.
Yeah, they're number two all-time in the NAI in wins, and right behind Baker. So, you know, the way I view them is that they're a really strong, tradition-rich program. They get kids that get in the weight room, and they put weight on them. They're strong. They're tough to go against. This year's team has a new coach, Coach Casey Crehan, who was at Peru State when I first arrived here. He's a defensive-minded guy, calls the defense, runs their special teams as well, too. So they're very solid in those two phases. They've really muddied it up for opposing quarterbacks and held teams like Grandview, Baker, and MNU down, way down in terms of their average scoring. So, you know, offensively, we got a big challenge for us today. And then I think defensively, they're not going to pass the ball very much. They don't pass it very much throughout the game. So we got to treat them like a triple option offense where we need to get stops and get them off the field. Otherwise, our possessions and our amount of plays offensively will be limited throughout the game. So we got to take advantage of all those possessions. And then, you know, special teams wise, they're going to do some funky things that are going to make it really difficult for us. And so we've got to be ready for that. They got explosive return game, and we have to be locked in today.
I look at their roster, or I mean, I look at their two deep, and the first thing I look at and think is, these guys are so big. I mean, they've got a number two lineman who's, what, 6'10 and 380? My goodness, they've got some big kids out there.
They do, and we played them twice this year in JV, and you saw their size they had in JV. But, you know, We got to come out there and we got to be physical. We got to get off to a fast start. We've got to win the turnover battle and win those hidden yards within special teams as well, too. I think that's a big key for us. And then we just got to be really locked in because we're going to be in their place, their homecoming. And we know how big of an advantage it is being at home for homecoming. So we're excited for this opportunity. We're going to the middle of Missouri. We've got a lot of kids from that area that are really good players for us. You think about the Witherspoons. You think about Jared Heron, Blake Dapkus, the kids from Jeff City, Helias that we have. You know, so those guys, we should have a good turnout, I think, because of that. And I'm really excited for our kids today.
One of the big parts of the prep for this game, I would suspect, has got to be, you know, making the guys aware of what they have got to do here today and not make that mistake. And I know that you work on it every day with them, looking down that calendar and looking down that schedule.
Oh, there's no doubt. One of the mottos we've been living by this year is called win the moment, and it came from our players. It really did. You know, of course, we have goals of winning a conference championship and winning a national championship, but really our focus throughout the season is just on winning the moment and practicing and playing to our standard. And so I've been really proud of our kids because I think because of that mindset that we have, that's allowed us to be locked in each and every week.
And, of course, a bit of a weird time. Does that change how you get ready to go? I mean, 2 o'clock, you don't get a lot of that this time of the year.
It allows us a little bit more time in the morning for the kids to sleep and then get on the road. So I'm okay with it. You know, we don't have to stay overnight and it saves money for the budget. And, you know, so we'll be okay.
Coach, we appreciate your time, man. Best of luck over here this afternoon.
All right, I appreciate you, Tom.
You've been listening to the Bank of Atchison's Coaches Show. Your home for Benedictine Raven football is CARE Radio 93.7. The Amberwell pregame show continues next with the Dairy Queen Grill and Chill Keys to the Game right after this.
Stop by Atchison Dairy Queen Grill and Chill for lunch or dinner. Try their signature stack burgers or chicken strip basket, original or honey barbecue sauced and tossed. Top it off with a classic DQ treat like a hot fudge sundae, dipped cone, or one of the many Blizzard flavors. All right now at Dairy Queen Grill and Chill in Atchison. Happy tastes good.
As we're getting set for kickoff of Raven football this afternoon, it's now time for your Dairy Queen Grill and Chill Keys to the Game. And For me, you got to start off fast. This is a Missouri Valley offense that doesn't score many points. So I think the offense needs to come out, score a couple quick touchdowns, puts a lot more pressure on that Missouri Valley offense to make plays. And they're a team who lets the football and get a little loose with it throughout the game. So, again, take the ball away from this Missouri Valley team. Score points early, put the pressure on Missouri Valley. That's how you come away with a big win. Kickoff coming up here next. Those are your Dairy Queen Grill and Chill keys to the game.
Keys to the game have been brought to you by Dairy Queen Grill and Chill, part of the Amberwell Pregame Show, here on Hot Country 93.7, home of the Ravens. And now, we go live to the stadium for Benedictine Raven football, where Tom and Gus Couch are standing by for play-by-play coverage and in-game analysis, right here on Hot Country 93.7, part of the MSC Sports Radio Network.
This is KAIR-FM, Horton Atchison, powered by MSC Radio and found online at msconews.net.
At Amberwell, they prioritize your health, your time, and your care. Life's unexpected twists can't be put on hold. That's why they have a team of compassionate primary care providers ready to serve you with same-day or next-day appointments. Whether it's a sudden illness, a minor injury, or a regular checkup, Amberwell is there for you. With convenient locations in Atchison, Hiawatha, Highland, Horton, Lansing, and Troy, they're dedicated to keeping you healthy and happy. Don't delay your well-being any longer. Call 913-358-0828 or visit their website at amberwellhealth.org to schedule your same-day or next-day primary care appointment. Amberwell is committed to your health, your time, and your care.
It's time for Benedictine Raven football. Four quarters of hard-hitting, action-packed, high-flying intensity. Our coverage of Raven football is brought to you by our proud Raven Sports Boosters.
Good afternoon and welcome to Marshall, Missouri, where this afternoon, in the Heart of America Athletic Conference, the number 7 nationally ranked Benedictine Ravens are hosted by the Missouri Valley College Fight Team. Hello again, everybody. Joseph, he's our man at the Care Radio Sports Studio today. Been there last night, all morning, still there. Joseph, well done, our producer and engineer. Gus Counts with me here in the booth, Tom Counts. And Gus, if you get a better day, a more perfect setting for college football, I don't know how you're going to do it. A couple of teams, there's no love lost here between these two clubs. This is going to be a fantastic football afternoon. Yeah, it should be a fantastic day. These two teams have had a rich history over the years against each other, and some games that have come down to crazy finishes. There have been a lot of memories between these two teams made, but it is fantastic weather out here for homecoming. 62 degrees, wind out of the east at 10 miles per hour, and 30.43 inches of mercury right now. And these two teams come into the ball game kind of different places, right? Benedictine having a great season. They are 6-1 overall. They're the number 7 team in the country. They were 2-0 in South Division play. Missouri Valley is navigating a first-year head coach, for them at least. That's Casey Crehan. Crehan has a little, you know, history with the conference. He was at Peru State just a few years ago. He's got this Viking team, though, playing 3-3 and 1-2 in South Division play. We're going to talk a little bit of logistics here. We are situated high above the stands here on the south side of this field that runs from east to west. Viking fans in front of us. Across the way, nice bleachers, a little smaller, very nice visiting bleachers, and it is going to be packed. It is already packed with Benedictine fans, and so you're going to have Raven fans across the way from us.
Very important to the broadcast is now a brand new, massive, about 3 foot long, 4 foot tall speaker has been mounted outside our window. So we're going to do our best to contend with that as the afternoon goes on, but you're going to probably be hearing some loud PA kind of sounds coming from directly beside us here. That all said, it's homecoming 2024 here also at Missouri Valley. So if you didn't think the crowd was going to be big enough, they're coming in from all over for homecoming this weekend. And just to kind of cap it all off, not only did we have a military helicopter flyover at the National Anthem, but now we've got the local motorcycle group making laps around the track prior to the game. We got it all going on here today. And we've got Benedictine going to get the football as Missouri Valley has won the flip of the coin. They've elected to defer, and the Ravens have their kick return unit out on the field. We're about ready to get underway here in Marshall. Gus, you mentioned the breeze. Not a big deal, a little bit, and it is going to be in Benedictine's face here in this first quarter. Ravens' two return men are going to be at the 5 and 10 yard lines with Jayshon Todd and Joseph Longafuiana back deep. Put in the toe to the football, Bruno Kincaid. Bruno is a freshman, and he is a player from overseas. He hails from Spain.
I like that in the program. Where you would list hometown, they only list the word Spain. So
that's enough for me.
But if you ask Romy, she would say we don't talk about Bruno. So that might be a little different. As now Bruno's over here throwing the ball back and forth with somebody on the sideline until he finds the ball that he wants to kick this afternoon.
So. Okay, is there a kick? Isn't there a kicking ball different somehow?
Yeah, there's a designated kicking ball.
All right, I'm already giving Bruno props for knowing the difference between the regular football and the kicking football, so he was able to distinguish that. Benedictine said to make the return, and we're not getting off a little bit late. All the games this year have been early. Everybody getting started 5 minutes, 3 minutes, 4 minutes early. Here we are, not quite punctually on time, but it's all going to come out in the wash. Raven fans continue to pour in.
How about this? With 7 minutes left in the first half, Baker is leading Central Methodist this afternoon in Baldwin, 42-0. So, Baker really trying to put one on this afternoon. The only night game in the conference, Mid-America is traveling over to Missouri Baptist. So, probably not far behind us on 70.
Probably won't be. And we're still waiting for them to get this thing teed up, and I'm really not certain what all the crazy amount of delay is. We got a turf field here. We mentioned it goes east to west. Nice enough field. They put it in a few years ago, so Benedict has played on it maybe a couple of times.
You've seen this field. Is this probably one of the worst fields you
see? Absolutely one of the worst.
Right.
Yeah,
like, you think back of Benedict and Missouri horrible. Valley games over the years, I always think of mud and, you know, like fog and that kind of a game.
Yeah, no question about it. The only other one that was worse before they renovated it was JFK Stadium down in Springfield when Evangel used to play on that public school stadium right down Glendale. All right, I think we've got it teed up. I think maybe we're going to be about ready to go. The advance of the ball and the boot is away. It's going to be end-over-end angling, and it'll be Jayshon fielding it at the 5. Tied up the numbers left side, 20. Bounces outside, 30. Cuts to the middle, 35, and one man to beat, and he made a nice tackle at the 37-yard line. Benedictine will have good field position. Ravens will have a first and 10 to their own 37.
That time it was free safety Brian Satire getting down there making the tackle. He comes into this ballgame with 32 of those on the season. And for Benedictine, decent starting field position after the 37.
Here come the Ravens, first and 10. Junior quarterback Jackson Dooley out of Lawrence, Kansas. We'll run the ball club in the backfield with him is BC's junior running back, 5'11" Windsor, Missouri native, Dalton Witherspoon. And Benedictine got to go with everybody in tight. Going to have a wing on each side. First down call. Motion. Joseph's going to go to the right side. Dooley the long count. Wraparound handoff. Witherspoon gets a block to the 40. Bobs outside. Grabs at the shoulders and down at the 47-yard line. A quick 8-yard hitter.
Yeah, nice job right there. Working on the left side. Rashad Beckham, your center, got pulled out there. Lead blocking. And good job. Nice patient run by Dalton Witherspoon. Coming up to make the tackle. Aiden Schwarzer The former Elk out of Burleson High School makes the stop. He's the leading tackler for Missouri Valley coming into today's ballgame. Up to 40 tackles on the season.
Second down two, Benedictine at their own 45-yard line. Just underway in the game here this afternoon. Looking like they're going to blitz, and now the handoff is going to go Witherspoon. He'll put his head down, take it to midfield, move the chains. It's a Raven first down.
Yeah, Dalton looked like he actually kind of lost his footing as he picked up that first down, but able to dive forward. It'll be first and 10 at midfield for the Ravens. Quickly back up over the football.
BC going with no huddle here on this first and 10 call at the midfield mark. Running back on the left side of the quarterback and receiver either way. Ravens will go to their third consecutive running play, and this one is going to be stopped after a very short one-yard pickup. How about Ryan Greenwood in the middle out of Beaumont, Texas? He's one of the better tacklers on this team. Coming into the game today with 10 tackles, one interception on the season. Ravens get one, cross midfield, and a second and 9.
Ravens going to take out Jay Sean Todd and bring Joseph Lagavuiana back into the ballgame, line him up on the slot to the left side.
Ravens go trip short side on the second down and long call. Motion to the right. They'll flare it over to the left side. It's going to be Gath right, and he is stood up and will fall forward for 2 yards, third down 7. How about Aiden Schwarzer over there? You mentioned him already, Gus. Schwarzer, 39 tackles coming into the game today. He's a good one.
So for now, for Benedictine, they're going to take a little more time, look over to the far sideline and see if Coach Osborne wants to stick to the script or if we're going to deviate on a third and 7.
Interesting call for Benedictine, who has not thrown the ball yet today, facing what would appear to be a passing situation. Witherspoon goes motion left. Quarterback is back to throw. He's got plenty of time. Steps up. Throws one over the middle. It's going to be caught at the 35. Ravens first down. Leaping catch by Longo Fuyana. And again, Benedictine will advance the sticks as senior linebacker Cater Hunt makes the stop. Joseph had just found a wide open spot in the middle of the seam and a pass a bit high, but Longo Fuyana, very athletic, was able to reach up, haul it in. Unable to advance the ball beyond the catch, but first and 10, Benedictine.
Lagavuiana on that play did a great job of just sitting down in a spot in the zone.
First and 10, BC. Now at the Valley 35-yard line. Checking off of the line of scrimmage. Dooley's one step back, throws right, has his man, and overshoots his intended receiver out there, Ethan Perrott.
Yeah, that time Perrott just run a little bit of an out route, and that pass was high and a little too far out in front of the intended receiver. Now Lagavuiana going to come back in for the second and 10 call.
Gus, over the years, and you'll describe the plays like that one. You'll say the pass was a little long, but what you really don't know is, was the pass too long or did the receiver cut the route off a little too quickly and wasn't out where the ball was going? Kind of something that you never know for sure. Second down 10, Ravens. Lagavuiana is going to take it on the jet sweep. Now the pitch back on the reverse. Here comes Jay Sean, 35. Jay Sean, 30, loses his footing, just slips and falls.
And Jay Sean had a little bit of a convoy out in front of him. Yeah, Tanner Zimmerman, Jackson Dooley, and Harrison Schmidt lead blocking. And Jay Sean's running off the field. He's shaking his head. And now that's about the third time that we've seen a guy lose his footing. We talked about it just moments ago when Witherspoon picked up the first down, went to cut, and lost his footing. As guys are having a little trouble with this field.
Third down 4. Benedictine inside the 30-yard line. They're down to the 28. Witherspoon stays into the running back spot. Motion will come over to the right side for Benedictine. QB will wrap around handoff. Witherspoon, there's a hole that's coming back. Witherspoon's going to go inside the 10-yard line, but it does say seal block on the outside edge was a blatant hold.
Yeah, that time the defensive tackle was trying to work outside and, well, got caught. So the hold against the Ravens will back this thing up, and Nixon's going to be looking closer to a third and 14.
We'll see where they get this thing spotted down. We're moving on to the first possession of the football game at 11-11 to go in the opening quarter in Marshall, Missouri. BC has taken this opening kick, driven it downfield, but now the first penalty of the ball game is set to maybe stymie this offense.
Well, and for the Ravens, I think you're in four down territory. We were watching Harris Balky kicking going this direction in pregame. Good from about 37, so you're going to need to get to the 30-yard line.
Third down, 13-14 to go for the Ravens. Motion to the right side. Quarterback rolls to the right. Looking. Now throws in a pass. It's going to be batted away and incomplete. Reaching out. Eric Potts trying to get a hand on it. They were looking for Jay Sean over in the right flat and for Benedictine.
Rochester, Sam. I'm seeing a mass of people in and out. Zimmerman, the only guy staying in, and Benedictine. Are they going to punt it away? Looks like the kicking team coming in. So here comes Cullen Bruner.
Yeah, there we go.
And the streak ends.
There it goes.
We'll wait for this punt before we mention that. Last week, Cullen Bruner did not punt the ball all day.
We haven't seen Cullen punt since October 5th at Culver.
And this kick is high, just what he wants. Bounce at the 15, nice Raven bounce, and it's going to be fielded at the 9, and then it pops loose. The Ravens say they've gotten it, and the officials say, well, they're still talking about it. Was the ball down, or was the, or did the Ravens dislodge it and pick it up? Benedictine saying they've gotten it. The officials are still discussing it among themselves, and now they're going to send everybody back.
Here's the problem. The return man threw his hands out and says, get away, get away. And they're trying to decide, was it a fair catch? But the official on the far side is saying that it was below, so it wasn't a fair catch signal. I think this is Ravens football.
Officials are pointing down at the field. Referee is standing there now talking to the head linesman. See, and he's reenacting this side to side. And by the way, the folks there at Missouri Valley take great care of it. We've got a video monitor for all of the replay work going on here today. And we are plumbed in. Very nice of them to take such good care of us. Excellent hospitality.
We got another official getting looked at by the trainers over there at the 40-yard line.
We've had officials the last couple of weeks find themselves injured or unable to continue during the course of the game. And now they continue to discuss this punt slash return or... Okay, did you catch that?
Yeah, so he said it was fumbled by Missouri Valley, but yet recovered by Missouri Valley. So they're going to say maybe he had possession before the Ravens were able to take it away. When it's all said and done, how about this? We are in week 8, right?
Yep, exactly right.
First time all season the Ravens haven't scored a touchdown on their opening possession.
A remarkable statistic. And sad to see that one come to an end.
It's been like the perfect game. We keep watching it, and we're like, man, that's been crazy. They keep scoring on the first possession. This will be the first time all season the Ravens haven't scored. Not just scored. They scored a touchdown on all 7 possessions to start a game until today.
And that drive was really hampered by the penalties. They picked up that first down, and then it was called back, and they were unable then to pick it back up. And the officiating crew, because they're struggling. I mean, not just a little bit. And now you've got Coach Osborne way out of the field, almost to the numbers. He's asking for some kind of an explanation from the officiating crews to what is going on out here, and he is visibly unhappy. And we're just underway here in this thing. 10:38 remaining to be played in the opening quarter. Benedictine took the opening kickoff, drove downfield, got a few first downs, and then were forced to punt the football away, and a really nice kick by Cullen Bruner was fielded at the 10-yard line. The Ravens with immediate contact on the kick return man. Looked like the ball had come loose, and the Ravens had recovered it, but the officials saying no. It is going to be Viking football. They're going to give it to him at their own 13. First and 10, Vikings. See what the Ravens defense has up his sleeve. QB's going to hand off, running back, goes outside, breaks a tackle, cuts inside, crosses the 20, up near the 25-yard line. He's going to have a first down plus. Rondarius Gregory, a guy who we thought was going to be maybe a deeper in the rotation running back, gets the start, and he's going to get about 13 on a first down carry, Gus. Quarterback is going to be the redshirt freshman, Cole Robertson. The redshirt freshman out of Kansas State, Missouri, 6 foot tall, 180.
And if you're looking at your 2-deep, he was the second quarterback all week on this week's 2-deep, so not a shock.
Raven defense being called on early in the game. First and 10 across the 25-yard line for Valley. Same play, only to the opposite side, putting his head down and pushing forward. Gregory is going to get across the 30, and he just keeps pumping and driving. The offensive line doing a good job in the middle, and it will be about a 7-8 yard gain. Second down and relatively short.
That time running off the left side behind Jaden Fett, 6'3", 350 left tackle. So look at this front line for Missouri Valley. This is why they're going to try to run the ball all afternoon. They go 6'3", 350, 6'2", 295, 6'2", 290, 6'5", 300, 6'4", 315, and their backup right tackle. How about that? 6'10". So that's some good size up front.
Ravens are going to be trying to stop that run all day. Second down, 3, Vikings. Penalty markers all over the place, and it was not a delay. They still had 1 second on the play clock. And the call is going to be a false start. So the false start is going to cross the valley. And Gus, again, penalty stop Benedictine. Maybe the false start is going to stop Missouri Valley because those penalties are just drive killers.
Well, and for Missouri Valley, they're a team who has to play in front of the sticks, right? They're not going to throw the ball a whole lot today, and so they've got to stay ahead of the sticks on the afternoon looking at how 2nd and 8.
Quarterback Cole Robertson running back on his right-hand side, 2 to the left side, and again, he's going to hand off, running back bounces outside, again, gets to the edge, turns it up, going to be close to the first down. He is beating the first guy. And you always talk about it. The key to a good running back is make the first guy miss. And so far, the Ravens' first guy has been missing.
Yeah, and that time you got a nice field block over there by Makar Stepanoff, the 6'5", 280-pound receiver. I would call him a tight end. They kind of line him up out there on the corner, and that way he's able to seal the edges a little bit. Now, for this 3rd and 1, Valley's going to bring 85 Brent Clary in, a 6'6", 250 junior tight end out of Atchison, Kansas.
And we're going to have a little line formation in the backfield on the 3rd down. 1 handoff, tailback bounces outside again, beats the guy to the edge, and he's going to be right at the 1st down marker.
That time coming up to make the stop on the play for Benedictine was going to be the safety, Dylan Witherspoon. Witherspoon coming in today's game with 27 tackles, make one there, but not before Valley's able to pick up the 1st down, run a little more time off this clock.
Guys, Ravens have got Trey Williams in the game, the sophomore cornerback out of El Toro High School in California. And I don't know if I've really noticed him out here a whole lot in the course of the season, but he's playing on the outside a little bit here right now. And he's been really blocked hard and has not been able to get out there and turn those plays back inside. 1st down, Vikings. QB's back, throws it over to the motion man to the left side, and he cannot haul it in with one hand. It's going to go incomplete. That receiver is tiny. Gus, if you hit him, you got a pretty good arm. Jesse Johnson, they've got him at 5'8", and again, we laugh about it every week. He's 5'6", or so, 6'5", out of St. Louis, Missouri.
Yeah, he's a shorter receiver out there, 5 catches on the season for 64 yards, and last week had 1 for 16, so he's a guy who you can get out into a little space, but, again, difficult to find.
No quicker way for a running team to lose momentum than to pass on 1st down and have it go incomplete. Now they're going to pick up 5 on each of the next 2 runs. 2nd down, 10. Back to throw again. Flares it near side and badly thrown way over the head of his intended receiver, Eddie Strong. Eddie, a 6'3 freshman, leaped high in the air, but didn't have enough ups to haul that thing down. And suddenly, the Vikings in. Because I'll never understand it. I'll never understand it. You're clipping down the field. 5, 6, 8 yards at a carry. Just moving it right down. And for some reason, you decide, I got to throw the football.
Yeah, so the problem was you threw on 1st down. Now you're looking at 2nd and 10. Then you decide to throw on 2nd down. Well, now you've given it away. You almost have to throw now on 3rd and 10 at your own 36. And for the Ravens, these defensive linemen are going to be able to just sell out.
Ravens going cover 2 on this 3rd down and long call. Quarterback straight drop back pass over the middle is going to be dropped in and out of the hands of the receiver. Had he held on, he was still 2 yards short of the 1st down marker. Eddie Strong, again, the intended receiver for Missouri Valley.
Yeah, that time Trey Williams was the cornerback, able to get a hand in there, knock the football away. The Ravens going to send their punt return unit out, and you'll see Jay Sean settle in around the 30-yard line.
And, of course, Benedictine is going to put the offensive coordinator, play caller Bryce Witt, on the Christmas card list for having switched up his offense, which had been working just really, really as well as you would want it to. And to punt the ball away is going to be Justin Bridges. He's out of Park Hills, Missouri, and the boot away, really nice. It'll turn over, and Jay Sean will fair catch it at the Raven 27-yard line. Benedictine will begin a 2nd possession from there. Clock at 7:04 to go, and that's one thing that running game will do, even though it was not successful in getting to midfield. it was successful in peeling a lot of time off.
Well, and if you're Missouri Valley, and you often ask why do some coaches script plays and stick to the script, that's why. So you don't get in your own head. You just continue to go down the list and say, hey, play one is this, play five is this, play seven is this. Then you can go back and say, okay, how did all those work? And you don't get too carried away.
Quarterback back to throw on a first down, coming out of the backfield, making a catch, and going to lose a couple of yards just on a play that just really had no choice to go, chance to go anywhere. Xavier Ugorji. So it's good to see Xavier on the field in the lineup. But as they flared him out from that running back spot, he went parallel to the line of scrimmage, caught the ball out near the numbers, but the coverage was right there. He could never get back to the line of scrimmage. It's going to be the loss of two. Second and a dozen for Benedict. And now Ugorji is going to be a running back behind and not beside the quarterback. Second down and a dozen. Back to throw, Dooley, timing pattern, and it's going to be batted away and probably was going to be out of bounds had it been caught.
Yeah, that time he threw it a little too close to the sideline. Alan Woodbury, the cornerback over there in coverage out of Oklahoma City, was able to make sure that thing wasn't caught. Now the Ravens have quickly found themselves staring at a third and 12.
And so for Benedictine, they have taken half a minute off the clock in a couple of downs. Jacob Gathright, intended recipient of that previous pass, is going to now go wide to the left side. Back to throw Dooley. He's looking for him and is going to throw it way short. Again, he was looking for Jacob Gathright. And I got to tell you, if I got a Jacob Gathright on my team and he's out in the flat, I'm looking for him. He's a great receiver and does incredible things when he's caught the ball, but absolutely uncatchable. The Ravens quickly go three and out, and they have had to punt on both of their first two possessions, giving the ball back here at 6:18 to go in the opening quarter where we're still scoreless. Ballard's going to come out of this exchange with a pretty good field position. The return man settling in at his own 45-yard line. Snap back. The kick is away. It's high end over end and away from the return man. Takes a big Raven bounce from the 40 and out of bounds around the 30-yard line. Merrick at the 31. It'll be first and 10 Valley.
47 seconds was that drive for Benedictine. So Missouri Valley is going to get this one back. The second drive of the day. The first one started out well and then ended with a punt.
Again, the difficulty with the passing game if you don't complete a few of them, and the Ravens did not. First and 10, Missouri Valley. Malik Brown, another freshman. You see there's a theme here, the Missouri Valley team under first-year head coach, first-year offensive coordinator, first-year defensive coordinator, head coach, and the new guys have brought in a lot of new players. We've got a lot of freshmen and sophomores here. Here's a straight run, straight up the middle, and that thing's going to be good for five. Second down, five. Nothing fancy. You just don't get any more basic than that run by Rondarius Gregory.
Yeah, Gregory just running off right side and coming up to make the tackle. Again, it's Dylan Witherspoon. And when your safety is making that tackle, what it means is that your offensive line is doing a good job of keeping a hat on a hat, which means basically they are blocking the guys right in front of them. They're also getting them to that second level to eat up those linebackers. Your linebackers right now on the field for Benedictine, you're going to have Joe Gaines along with Abram Phillips.
Cole Robertson started coming out, went back in, started coming out, went back in, and now they're going to hand it off into the middle and backing forward for a yard or two. There's no room there, so the running back just kind of puts his back toward the line of scrimmage, and again, Rondarius Gregory then just drives and pushes the stack for a couple of yards, third down, three.
So what we saw in that last play right there for Missouri Valley, when they went trips to the left, it was all decoy because by going trips, you force the linebacker, Abram Phillips, out of the box, and you leave one linebacker in the middle, and that's Joe Gaines, which makes it easier to run against.
Here we go on the third down and three for Valley, thrown 38, running back in the middle, one-handed tackle. What a superb defensive play by Blue Kaplinger. Wow.
Yeah, Blue Kaplinger taking out a little frustration. He saw his former high school, Lewisburg, fall from the one seed to the two seed last night, and so next week they'll get Bishop Miege coming to town. But, yeah, what a job right there by Blue Kaplinger, 32 tackles on the season. Puts another one in the stat column.
Don't you just get the feeling that these two teams are ready for some big play, something exciting, some lightnings to strike as Bridges is back to punt it away for the Vikings from his own 22. Benedictine again with Jayshon Todd standing at the Raven 30-yard line. Snap back punt nearly blocked, but he's able to get it away. And it's another very nice kick angling away from the Raven return man and tumbling out of bounds along the near sideline. The official will stay at the 33-yard line. Benedictine will begin its third possession of the afternoon and kind of similar field position to where it began its first two. First and 10 at his own 33. Clock now, 4:05 to go in the scoreless opening quarter.
So for the Ravens, first down, right? You got to pick up a first down. Your last one was a three and out that only took 45 seconds. So you're looking to put something together here on this drive.
Nobody in the backfield with Raven quarterback Jackson Dooley. Ravens are going to throw the ball here. Dooley, one step drop, fires past right side. It's going to be caught and spun down to the 40-yard line. A quick hitter, about 6 yards. Second down, 4. Benedictine, the catch over there by Longafuiana.
Tackle over there, Brian Sorrente makes a stop on the play. Benedictine quickly up over the football after a 7-yard gain on first down. Brings up second and 3 at the 3:52 mark of the first quarter.
One step drop again. Same play, same way. And there was absolute miscommunication. Joseph was running just straight down the field hard as he could. I think Jackson expected him to stop and come back to the pass. And luckily for Benedictine, there was no defender near.
Well, you know, we saw the Ravens in their first, what, 5 plays of the game. 3 of them were rushes, maybe even 4 of them were rushes. And now we've seen Benedictine in the last 2 possessions really get away from the running game. Now on this third down, they're going to bring a running back into the backfield, and that's going to be Witherspoon.
And they will hand off to Witherspoon. He'll dance outside, put his head down, drug down from behind, got only one, and the Ravens again 3 and out. Ethan Towers, big old guy from Chicago, Illinois, defensive lineman with the Vikings stop. And that's Missouri Valley. The score is tied at 0, but Missouri Valley's winning this game right now. Because they need this emotion to defeat a highly ranked Benedictine team.
Well, you know, Benedictine's going to take another, maybe less than a minute off the clock. Yeah, right there, boom. 1 minute was that whole possession for Benedictine.
Snap back, and a kick again. Fantastic. The return man is going to catch it right in front of a defender at the 25, up the right side to the 30, 35-yard line. Watch the tight rope, and where will they say he has stepped out?
It's all coming back for a block in the back right at the 30-yard line.
So the return is going to be marked out around the 45-yard line, but, yeah, that penalty marker back at the 30 is going to cost Valley dearly. The Benedictine defense is walking clear down here, but there it is. Okay. Gus for Benedictine. Are they a little frustrated? I mean, the offense has not been able to click. Well, although they should have known and did know that the Missouri Valley defense is the strength of their team.
Yeah. I mean, you look at this Missouri Valley team and you say, wow, they're 3-3. They're not that great. Do you remember a couple weeks ago we were coming back from Culver Stockton kind of listening to the end of the Baker game? And they almost knocked off Baker in that game. It took a pick six and then like a heave towards the end of the game for Baker to come back and win that. So Valley is very capable of beating teams.
Here's a run into the middle of the line, pick it up 2 or 3 yards, and the script has not been deviated from much at all. The Ravens trying to throw the football, Missouri Valley trying to run the football, and right now, the guys who are getting the work are the punters.
Yep. Heath Baker right there makes the tackle for Benedictine. It will be a gain of, still a nice gain on first down. Let's call it a 4-yard gain. Up and out, he's 2nd and 6.
Heart of America Athletic Conference football in the NAIA. We're at 2:20 to go in the opening quarter. It is scoreless here in Marshall, Missouri, at Missouri Valley, where the number 7 ranked Benedictine Ravens are on the road today. 2nd down, 6. The BC defense drops back, quarterback pass over the middle, hits his receiver, Eddie Strong in the hands, and he drops the ball. That's why they don't pass.
Yeah, that's the second time we've seen Eddie Strong just, like, have stone hands on that play, right? He ran an inside slant, beat the cornerback, had the ball hit both of his hands, and then just dropped away. He was going to pick up at least 10 where he was going to catch the ball and then yards after the catch, but a tough break right there now. Offensive coordinator Bryce Witt looks at that play sheet and he's saying, man, this is getting a little more difficult to call.
Okay. Yeah, I'm no offensive coordinator, but I throw that same play again. The receiver was perfectly wide open. He had plenty to pick up a first down. He just dropped it. Is he going to drop two in a row? Third down, QB's going to drop straight back, steps up in a pocket, he's hit, breaks away, rolling right, looking to throw the ball, and then throws it at his feet at the 22-yard line. That's a grounding call if they call that a pass.
It was. He's out of the pocket, and it crossed the line of scrimmage.
Is he across the line of scrimmage there?
Well, the ball would have, because okay. He just needed to get to the 25.
And we got a lineman down for Missouri Valley, and they will be forced to punt the football away. That was not a pretty play, and Benedictine with a really good opportunity, I thought, at a quarterback sack, but Cole Robertson did a nice job of being elusive back there, and Cole Johnson for Benedictine was the guy with the pressure on. So you had Cole Robertson, the quarterback, Cole Johnson, the defender. Okay, let me do a little quick math. This is 2024. So in 2004, in 2004, Cole was a very popular boy's name in the nursery, right?
Sounds like it.
Maybe. And again, they continued to attend to one of the Missouri Valley players. There it is. There's the intentional grounding call. And the loss of down. And the Valley crowd, the homecoming crowd, just is absolutely falling dead silent.
Well, and Casey Crehan's out there talking to the official. At the end of the day, I don't think it really matters. It's a 3-yard penalty. And a loss of down, well, it was going to be fourth down anyway. So it's not a problem for Valley. But now the officials are going to talk about it a little more. So
take a break. This crew has been doing a lot of talking. Joseph. Gus has got a perfect idea taking this time out. 2 minutes and 1 second to go in the opening quarter in Marshall, where it is Benedictine in Missouri Valley, scoreless.
Kick off the new season with a visit to an old friend, Mueller's Locker Room. Since 1988, Mueller's has been Atchison's original sports bar and grill, serving up great food, cold beer, and all your favorite spirits. Whether you're hanging out in the dugout or relaxing on the deck, Mueller's is the place to be. Locally owned and operated, it's been the hot spot for good times for over 30 years. Mueller's Locker Room, 120 South 2nd in Atchison, your sports bar for all seasons.
Well, we come back and the training crew assists the injured Missouri Valley player off the field, and the Vikings are going to punt again. Benedictine's return man at his own 45-yard line, snap back, kick away. It is going to be short, and it is going to take a little bit of a Valley bounce. It's going to roll inside the 45-yard line, but the Ravens are going to have, because maybe some of their very best field position, certainly their best position to begin a series today, right here, first and 10 at their own 42-yard line.
If I told you that at the 151 mark of the first quarter, we would have seen six punts in this game, there's no way you would have believed me. I didn't know if we would see six total punts this afternoon.
I agree completely with that.
But both of these offenses have sputtered just a little bit, and here Benedictine's going to take it with a minute 51.
Passed over to the right flat. Longo Pouliana sidestepped the defender, breaks the tackle, 40, 50, 40, 37-yard line. That's the play that Benedictine, because I believe that's a play that the Ravens came in today in their heart of hearts thinking they could make work. That is about the fourth time they had run that play, and this is the first time it's been that successful, picking up a first down at about 20, 21 yards. Ravens first and 10 inside the Valley. 40. Quarterback back to throw. Dooley lobs one downfield, wide open. Longo Fuyana counted. Touchdown, Ravens. Benedictine, a two-play, 60-yard drive, culminating in the long pass from Raven quarterback Jackson Dooley to receiver Joseph Longo Fuyana. And with a minute 12 to go in the opening quarter, the Ravens have gotten on the board and lead 6-0.
It was a nice possession right there for Benedictine. They came out, quick pass, and then they ran a deep post down the middle of the field and realized that nobody had picked up Joseph Lagapuliana running down the middle, and they were able to hit him and put six on the board here at the end part of the first quarter.
PAT specialist Harry Balky drills it through the uprights, and we're going to take another timeout. Joseph, this one coming at a minute 12 to go in the opening quarter in Marshall, Missouri, where the Ravens are on the board. It's Benedictine 7, Missouri Valley nothing.
Party pants on, people. Taco John's new 2-for-5 Fiesta Chicken Tacos are here. That's right. Grilled all-white meat chicken is ready to fiesta. Fresh pico is ready to fiesta. And our fiesta sauce is obviously ready to fiesta. Kind of its whole thing. That and being creamy and savory and awesome. Ready your party pants and your eating pants. They can be the same pants. New Fiesta Chicken Tacos. Now 2 for $5 for a limited time. Only at Taco John's. Download the app, earn free food.
Hey, welcome back. Colin Bruner going to put a toe-to-the-hook ball for Benedictine as the Ravens have finally gotten on the board. Guys, we talked about they didn't score in the first possession or in the second or third. Was this the fourth possession of the game?
Yes.
Kick is away, going to land 8 yards deep, go out the back, and Missouri Valley will run their offense out of the field with about a minute to go in the first quarter.
Don't be shocked about this. The kick returners are not the kick returners. So.
Really? Who knew? Whoever saw that coming, right? It's a really good crowd here this afternoon. A beautiful day. Marshall, Missouri, 62 degrees at kickoff time with a nice breeze from the east. Unusual, you know. Outdoorsmen will tell you winds from the east are not only uncommon, but not usually particularly good for successful hunting and fishing outings. High barometric pressure, 30-43, pretty high. First and 10 at their own 25-yard line. Here come the Vikings and quarterback Cole Robertson. Single man in the backfield. It's going to be Rodarius Gregory. They go right back to the well, feed it to Gregory. He is going to follow the block of Jared Bedell and pick up 2 yards. Now, Bedell, he's out of Frisco, Texas, okay? Kind of a DFW outlying of the area in the Metroplex. And he's a big man at 6'4", 315. Tackle made by the Ravens, Zachary Lacombe. So good to see Zachary well and out there. The Ravens thought maybe that he was not going to get to play today, but his injury turned out to be much, much, much less than they thought it might have been, and he is out here this afternoon. Second down, 8. Raven defensive front is going to shift over a full spot, and the quarterback is going to roll to the right. Chase out of the pocket, throws on the run, and this time it's going to be caught short of the 40-yard line, but enough for the first down. And he's strong, reaches out. Just looked like he had to stick him on the gloves because he reached out there and stabbed that ball out of the sky.
Yeah, that was a good one for him, and he really kind of needed that after the last play where the ball hit him in the hands and he dropped it. That time, able to pick up the first down. And for Missouri Valley, they haven't done much of that today.
And the opening quarter has come to a close. So we are one quarter into the ball game. We'll be back with more after the first. It's the Benedictine Ravens, 7, Missouri Valley scoreless.
Atchison Auto Parts is your locally owned and operated independent NAPA dealer. With a team of experienced employees that have a lifelong passion for the auto industry, they provide top quality parts and exceptional service. They are all car guys who care about getting you the right parts. And with locations in Leavenworth and Smithville, they can get that part same day if not on their shelves. Open 8 to 6 Monday through Saturday and 9 to 3 on Sunday. Atchison Auto Parts, 424 Woodlawn Avenue in Atchison.
Come back to Marshall, Missouri. It's Missouri Valley's homecoming this afternoon, and Benedictine leads Missouri Valley 7-0 at the end of the first quarter, but the Vikings do have the ball on what is going to be their fourth possession of the afternoon. Quarterback in the club right now is going to be, guy we thought was probably a backup, Cole Robertson. 6-foot redshirt freshman out of Kansas City, Missouri. He's going to be in the pistol with the running back directly behind him. Two receivers to the left, one to the right. Quarterback turns, fakes the handoff. Now he's going to boot out to the side. He's going to flare a pass over there to Jesse Johnson, who makes a nice sliding catch and just past the 42. They're going to mark him out at the 43-yard line. Nice job right there for Missouri Valley. They just got the quarterback out of the pocket on a little bit of a boot pass. And nice sliding catch by the junior receiver out of St. Louis, Missouri. It's going to bring up now a second and four for the Vikings. Missouri Valley going to send two receivers to the right, one to the left. They're going to take the tight end. Instead of putting him in line, they're going to put him just behind the line. Quarterback's going to turn, hand it off to his running back. Kind of slows down, lets a little blocking develop in front of him, and now he's going to push forward for about six. A nice gain right there for Missouri Valley's running back, Rondarius Gregory. Good patient running. Now, Missouri Valley quickly back up over the football. The quarterback in the gun. He's going to shift his running back from left to right. He'll take the snap, get the handoff. It's Gregory again at the 50, looking to turn the corner. He's going to lose his feet. Give credit on that play to Javai Blomquist for the tackle, only because he was the closest Raven. A 3-yard gain on the play. It's second and seven. Again, hurry up offense, going with a little tempo now. Quarterback takes the snap. He's going to sprint out to the right. He's got a tight end out there in the flat. It's going to be caught by Markavius Stefanoff, 6'8", 280-pound tight end. He's only going to gain a couple on the play. It'll set Missouri Valley up now with a third and five. They're going to take a little more time on this call as they come over and talk to offense coordinator Bryce Witt. Coming into the ballgame, Jesse Johnson, he's going to replace Adonis Whitley for this third down call. And still, staring at that play call or play sheet is the offensive coordinator. Play clock down to 12. Valley will break the huddle. They're going to bring everybody in tight. Running back going to be in the shotgun with a running back to his right. He's going to step back, flare it off into the right. Almost picked off by Trey Williams. But it'll fall incomplete. That time they were trying to run a little out pattern over there to Eddie Strong. But the problem with it was they threw it inside, and Trey Williams had a hand on it, couldn't haul it in. It's going to fall incomplete, and Missouri Valley set to punt for, how about this, the fourth time this afternoon. With the ball on the Raven 46-yard line, you're looking at punter Justin Bridges to pin his, how about this, third punt of the season inside the 20. He's a guy who likes to hang him up. He's already forced 9 fair catches this season. The snap is back. There's no rush. The punt is wobbly. It's kind of high. It bounds at the 15, and Jayshon will just kick it out of bounds around the 10. And that's where Benedictine will start this possession. So, for the Ravens, coming off that last possession where they were able to score a touchdown, a 38-yard pass from Dooley to Lagafuiana. That was a drive that only took 2 plays to get them into the end zone. There you go.
Hey, what do you think? That was kind of a cool job by Jayshon, just slapped that thing away. Ravens got to drop back to throw. Oh, he's going deep. He's got a man wide open. That's right. 45, 50, 45, 40. 2 defenders finally get him slowed down, and the Ravens got to pick up 50 yards on one play. About 60 yards on one play. So all the way down to the 40-yard line, it is a first and 10, Benedictine. Ravens suddenly moving the ball, and because they're doing it through the air. I think the season wears on, the Ravens really like to have a running game, but they're being successful, so I think they're going to be satisfied with moving the ball in the air. And the Vikings don't like it. We're going to get a Missouri Valley timeout and take a break with them. Joseph, the break at 2 minutes and 16 to go in the first half for Marshall, Missouri. BC, 7, Missouri Valley, nothing.
Craving something fresh? Head to Subway in Atchison. From the classic subs you love to fresh salads, wraps, and breakfast options, there's something for everyone. And don't forget to treat yourself with a foot-long churro or soft pretzel, perfect for a snack or with your meal. Subway, eat fresh. conveniently located under the Fifth Street Viaduct in Atchison.
Boldly see Ashford Stadium in Greg Mitchell Field on the campus of Missouri Valley College in Marshall, Missouri, where Benedictine coming up with a 50-yard play quickly back up to the line of scrimmage, and Valley said, no, 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 we got to talk about this. I'm taking a timeout. Now the Ravens will come out over the football at the Viking 40-yard line, leading 7-0. In the backfield, junior running back Dalton Witherspoon with quarterback Jackson Dooley. Hand off Witherspoon. He stops, blocking develop a little bit, and then tries to advance, but he's only going to be good for a couple, 3 yards, not much more than that.
For Missouri Valley getting over there to make this stop on the play, it's going to be Sorrente, the free safety. Not the biggest guy in the world at 5'10", 200 pounds, a senior out of Sacramento, California.
On homecoming today, Valley is in their white-on-white uniforms with orange helmets, orange and purple lettering and trim. A unique uniform.
You wear white at home. Maybe that's basketball.
I was going to say, not necessarily. But they got the white on whites going today. Benedictine second down 8. Back to throw. Dooley throws left. Got a man. It's going to be caught by LeBron. Just about a yard short of the first down at the 30-yard line. Second down or third down short for the Raven offense. Nice catch over there because LeBron Jackson, the 6'2" junior out of California for Benedictine, only one catch last week, but he's the kind of guy that one of these games, one of these days, he's going to go triple digits, you know?
Now the Ravens are set up looking at a 3rd-and-3, just under 11 to play here in the first half.
And by the way, basketball season is on us. The college hoop season begins today for the Benedictine men. Head coach Ryan Moody, associate coach John Peer, and the Ravens are headed down the turnpike, as they say, on their way to Southwestern. Because have you ever seen the Jinx at Southwestern? No. You're missing something here. So Benedictine has men's college basketball down there this afternoon. We will not get to broadcast that because we're here. However, Lady Raven basketball will begin Wednesday, and it will be here on Care Radio. We'll be talking about that. Matter of fact, let's just get it all ironed out at halftime. Let's talk to Chad Folsom, Lady Raven head coach.
Sounds like a good idea.
That way we'll get it right. So Coach Folsom joining us at halftime today. Ravens back to throw into the end zone. There's no one defending. Touchdown, Ravens. What a job. Jackson Dooley looks downfield. Looks on the right side of the end zone. Jacob Gathright is standing there. He's kind of kicked back. He could have been in a Barca lounger just waiting for the ball to come in. Catches it with his back to the end zone. Touchdown, Ravens, and Benedictine now up 13 with 10 minutes to go in the half.
The Ravens just went 90 yards on that drive and made it look easy, right? I mean, they went, hold on, 1, 2, 3. I've got that as a 90-yard drive in 4 plays.
That would be, I know it's 90 and feels like 4. PAT feels pretty good, too, and we're going to take a timeout as Benedictine is up 2 scores. With 10:03 to go in the opening half, Ravens up double their lead. It's Benedictine 14, Missouri Valley nothing.
Fall is tailgating season, and before you head out to cheer on your team, stop by Huntley Liquor. Whether you're grilling, chilling, or celebrating that big win, we've got the drinks to keep your tailgate going strong. Choose from a wide selection of domestic and imported beers, fine wines, and premium spirits to make your tailgate a hit. Hunley Liquor, 119 South 9th Street in Atchison. Hometown friendly, hometown helpful. That's Hunley Liquor.
Back over here in Marshall, Missouri, where Benedictine is now up 14-0. And Gus, if you're a wide receiver, you're out there like Jacob Gathright was, there's nobody around you and that ball's coming at you. Isn't that, I think, maybe a harder catch to make than if it's more bang-bang and you don't have all the time to think about it, just watch it coming with no defenders around? And now the kickoff is going to be fair caught at the 16-yard line. That's a surprise move.
I think the ball just kind of got hung up in the wind a little bit, and he said, hey, let's go ahead and call for the fair catch and pop this thing back out to the 25.
Missouri Valley is coming out over the football, and for the Vikings, well, it's been tough. 67 total yards of offense. Benedictine with almost 200 so far this afternoon. And the Vikings have begun this series like they began their last one, first and 10 of their own 25-yard line.
And there's only a difference of two plays on the day, right? 21 plays for Benedictine, only 19 for Missouri Valley.
Here comes the Viking offense, and they continue to roll with Cole Robertson, the redshirt freshman quarterback. Running back takes a big steep. He's going to accelerate, head toward the line, stretch out to the side. We'll get to the edge and pick up maybe three. And Rondarius Gregory was looking for some room. Ravens did a nice job of stringing it out.
Yeah, the Ravens have done a great job utilizing that sideline. And that time getting over there for Benedictine. Abram Phillips, their leading tackler, gets over there, able to stretch it out and knock the ball carrier out of bounds for, call it a 2-yard gain, second and eight.
Gus, I'm enjoying watching one of my favorite guys out there, Isaac Anderson, as he's walking back from the sideline at the point of tackle back to the line of scrimmage where the ball is getting ready to snap. He's having a very in-depth conversation with a Missouri Valley offensive line, but I'm sure they're chatting up about their majors and their plans after graduation, things like that, you know, Christmas plans. Second down and eight, motion left, and penalty markers litter the field before the play gets underway.
Play game, offense, 4-2. 5-yard penalty, touchdown.
So we're going to get a delay of game against Missouri Valley. So
we've seen more delay of games in the last 2 days than we've seen in the last 2 months, I think. I feel like that. So the play's going to come in from the near sideline. Cole Robertson comes over, talks to Coach Crehan and OC Coach Witt. And they're going to have it second down, 13 from their own 22-yard line. Quarterback's back, looking left, throwing left, and it's going to be too tall. And it gives it to punitive receiver over here, Jesse Johnson. Just wasn't tall enough to catch that ball. If you had, remember a moment ago, you had that big tight end reached up and caught that ball? Okay, he would have had a chance. 6'5", Marcus Stepanoff might have had a chance to catch it. But at, you know, 5'6" or so, Jesse Johnson was not reaching that pass.
I was going to say, Jesse Johnson's listed at 5'8", but he's also standing right next to Malik Brown, who's 5'9", and he's much shorter. So I think you're probably right. I think he's probably closer to the 5'6", 5'7".
Third down, 13 Vikings. Clock stops at 8:49 to go in the first half. Benedictine with a 2-touchdown lead. Luke Kaplinger kind of filling the gap. Now he's going to come after the quarterback who's flushed out of the pocket. Rolling right, throws the ball, and a diving attempt is going to be made, and the completion taken by Eddie Strong. Good news for Eddie. He caught the ball in the field of play. Bad news is it's way short of the first down.
Yeah, and so Coach Crehan looks at it, and I think he would love to leave his offense out on the field, but realizing that your defense has struggled right now, got to send the punt unit out because you can't give your defense a short field.
And Benedictine once more is going to send a Jay Sean back for the return. He'll settle in at the Raven 30-yard line. Under the ball, Justin Bridges. Ravens have really been right up in his face with each of these previous kicks. And this boot is away. Another nice hanging kick. The fair catch called for and executed by Todd around the 26-yard line. Benedictine will begin from there. Justin Bridges does a nice job punting the ball. He gets it up in the air. Gives his kick coverage unit plenty of time to get beneath the ball and get downfield. And because of that, he's had his opponents make a lot of fair catches this year.
Yeah, now that's the 10th fair catch of the season. And you start thinking, well, what about Colin Bruner? Bruner's at only 6. So it kind of gives you an idea of how Bridges has done a nice job of getting the ball in the air.
Motion to the near side for Benedictine. Tyler Watson slides over. Jackson's back. Goes left side. It's going to be caught. Jay Sean, gain of 7.
That time, Jay Sean doing a great job catching the ball right in front of the defender over there for Missouri Valley. That was Ethan Towers. Realized he didn't want anything to do with Towers. Just steps out after a 7-yard gain. Let's call it 2nd and 3.
It is so good to see last week and now again this week a very healthy Jay Sean Todd. I mean, even when he was not at 100%, he was better than so many players, but he is just a whole different guy out here. Second down, Ravens. They'll hand off to Jay Sean. He'll sweep right, puts his head down, and he's going to power forward very close to, and the official on the near side says that's a first down, right?
Yeah, Jay Sean Todd, you talk about how quick he looks right now. And he's one of those guys that the bye week did a lot for, right? I mean, he's been beat around all season. He's got a good week to just take off, get good and healthy. And now the Raven offense really starting to click recently.
Back into the game, Tyler Watson and Ethan Perrott on a first down 10. Benedict at their own 39-yard line. Ravens in front, 14-0. 7 minutes to go in the first half. Wrap around handoff, Bugorji to the 40, 45, drags defenders. He's right at the first down marker as the ball pops out. And your officials are going to say, are they going to say it's down? They are.
They're going to say he's down. And if you're going off that spot, he might be just a little short of the first down. So they're going to give him a gain of 9. He's going to check out of the ball game, back in will come Dalton with his food.
Because observations on Xavier Ugorji. Tremendous speed, agility, good ball carrier with a propensity to injury and fumble.
Yeah, the other day, runs a little loose with football.
Quarterback back to throw over the middle. He's got his man caught at the 30-yard line. Catch by the Ravens. Ethan Perrott, first and 10, Benedictine. That is a 21-yard catch.
Yeah, Perrott, as he caught that, did a great job of creating a little separation. Then as he turned back into the field of play, he quickly met Eric Potts, the far side cornerback, able to make the stop on the play.
Here comes Benedictine inside the 20-yard line of the Missouri Valley. 5:40 to go and rolling along here toward halftime. Ravens with a 2-touchdown lead. Motion's coming to the right side. Pass over here. It's going to be taken by Witherspoon. Puts his head down, and he just runs headlong into the defender, Jeremiah McNair. It's going to be a relatively short gain for BC. McNair, he's just tough, man. He made a nice tackle there.
Yeah, he's kind of a big guy out there, 6'1", 180, playing that safety position out of Hattiesburg, Mississippi.
All right. A segue into a big guy out there. How about checking into the game for the Ravens, Cameron Dover? Cameron at 6'3", one of the Ravens' taller receivers.
They're going to run to the right side.
Tyler Watson is going to shift over to the left to the end, and QB is back to throw. Chase from behind is passed to the left side. It's going to be tall, and LeBron unable to come down with it around the first down 6. It'll be incomplete.
And the reason I guess is run to the right side. With Cameron Dover, when he comes into the ballgame utilizing that 6'3", 215-pound frame, they typically run behind him.
So here we are at 4:52 to go. First half, Benedictine now 3rd and 10, still at the 28-yard line in Valley territory. Now, if they think about field goal, because we were using the 30-yard line as the line of demarcation, but now it's into the wind, so I don't know how that's going to affect it. The wind, 10 mile an hour, so it is noticeable. Witherspoon stays in the block. Quarterback steps up, goes for the end zone. He's got a man. Touchdown, Ravens! Stepping in front of Missouri Valley's Kobe Windham, the Ravens' catch is made by LeBron Jackson and BC with its 3rd touchdown of the second quarter.
Yeah, 28-yard touchdown strike right there from Dooley to LeBron, and as he threw it up, just let Jackson climb the ladder, able to pull that thing in for his first touchdown of the afternoon, his 2nd touchdown of the season.
And Harry Balke coming in to see if he can add just one more PAT right here. Ravens offense has found itself in the second quarter. The placement is good, and so is the kick. And a timeout coming your way here from Marshall, Missouri. With 4:45 to go, opening half, and it's now all Benedictine. Ravens have taken the lead. It's BC up 21-0.
Like everything around us, the vape world is changing quickly. One day, it's do-it-yourself kits. The next, it's the easy simplicity of disposable vapes to fit the needs and tastes of all adult vapers. Skyway Vapes is also giving off the 420 signal. Enter a world of legal alternative vapes for a spell of relaxation from the stress of life. How about Wildberry, America's best incense? They have that too. Questions? They've got answers. Products? They've got plenty. Skyway Vapes, 711 Commercial Street in downtown Atchison.
Well, Missouri Valley is going to send back a couple of kick return specialists in Rondarius Gregory and Adonis Whitley. And their return, Gregory's going to take it at the 2. Glides up to the 10, into traffic of the 20, and that's all she wrote. He's going to be stood up and stopped right there. When he got into the thick of the kick coverage, because there was just no escape for him.
At that time, it was Joseph Abrams, a sophomore out of Tomball, Texas, making the stop on the play for the kick coverage unit of Benedictum.
There must be an awful lot of football players out of Tomball, Texas, because there's no team that we see, including Benedictum, that doesn't have at least one athlete from there on the roster. Here you go, 1st and 10, Vikings. This is a crucial Missouri Valley possession. First of all, they've got to, for them, they've got to break this I can't get the ball moved at all kind of a thing they've got going on. Second of all, you'd love to get, if you're Vikings, a point on the board before halftime and not go shut out into the locker room. So they need to do something here. Raven defense has been really good. Quarterback's going to fake the handoff, keep it himself. He's going to be swarmed and he's going to be tackled. Maybe he got back to the line of scrimmage. Certainly did not get beyond it.
Yeah, not a lot going right there for the quarterback. Joseph Burke in on the stop for the Ravens. Also getting in there was Abram Phillips. Abram's got a good cheering section today.
Yeah, we got a chance to visit with Grandma and Grandpa, who came up today from Pueblo. So it's good to see. I love to see when family and friends come to support these players and get a chance to enjoy some Benedictine football. That is good stuff. Second down, 10 from their own 21-yard line. Very deep drop by Robertson. Penalty markers all over the place. A wide-open receiver will catch the ball to the 50, but it doesn't matter. He'll lose it, and the Ravens are going to pick it up, return it down the right sideline, down to the 30, 20, 15-yard line, and thrown down on the near side. Coming up with a loose ball is going to be Blomquist, but just that penalty marker down there is going to be declined now, right?
Yeah, it was going to be a hold, and now the Ravens are going to decline that because they're going to get this ball.
So, okay, we just had said Valley needs a good possession, and they had the right play. The ball thrown downfield, an open receiver makes the catch, advances the ball to the 50-yard line, and took a hard hit. Ball pops out. Javai Blomquist picks it up, races down the near sideline, and what could have been a 40-yard gain turns into a turnover, and Benedictine looking at 1st and 10 at the 15. A little bit too loud. 1st and 10 at the 15-yard line. The Ravens are now deep again in Missouri Valley territory. This has been a nightmare. You talk about Halloween. This is a nightmare for Missouri Valley right now, the second quarter. Officials have stopped the play. They're over there talking to the coaches, and now the players are racing back out. They will hang on just for a tick here and see what's going on.
Yeah, at first it looked like Benedictine was a little confused as they came out, and you thought they were going to utilize the timeout. Instead, I think they got it all cleaned up and got a fresh play clock, and here we go.
So BC is 11 strong out of the field, and here we go, 1st and 10 at the 15-yard line. TZ will motion over to the left side. Zimmerman will set up as a tight end on the left. Now motion. We'll go all the way to the left side. That's going to be Joseph. Quarterback rolls left, looks downfield, is going to run with it. And at the last moment, a little shot put pass is going to be incomplete. It'll bring up a 2nd down 10. That's something the quarterbacks have developed in the last, 10 years, maybe less, that little push pass, that little kind of just shove the ball forward kind of a thing.
Once 15 started doing it, I feel like
everybody,
more quarterbacks have said, oh, well, that's not a terrible idea. Let's try that.
2nd and 10. 3.5 minutes to go in the first half. Benedictine, 2nd and 10 to the 15-yard line. Clearly within field goal range, but they would like more. Xavier Ugorji, running back on the left side of quarterback Jackson Dooley. Ugorji gets the handoff, goes right, good blocking in front of him, carries it to the 10. And you like watching Trey Madrid going down the field. He's a big, strong, wide body out of McKinney, Texas. And 6'3", 285, did a nice job of leading that play downfield. And he had DJ Daly out there making the tackle. senior from Ocala. Third down, Ravens. And Beasley just short of the 10-yard line. So from the 11, it'll be a third down, 6. Now, Dooley taking a long look at the Ravens sideline. Turns back toward the offense, make of the count. Inside 3 to go. First half, pass over the middle, and it's picked off. I'm not sure who that was supposed to be going to, but it was between 3 defenders, and this guy's going to run. Julie's the only guy with a chance to catch him, and he won't. And this is going to be a 100-yard interception return,
guys. Watch out for Jacob.
And Gathright catches him at the goal line, but I think he's in. Touchdown. That is a 100-yard interception return on a pass from Jackson Dooley, Gus, where he had two open receivers and hit the defender.
Kobe Windham is going to get the interception. And if you watch the play, he actually caught the interception, I think, off of a carom. He wasn't the first guy. See, the first guy to have it was Jermaine McNair. He wasn't able to hold on to it. Kobe Windham then steals it out of the air. That's his first interception of the season. For Missouri Valley, it's their 9th interception on the year.
The PAT is up and good at Valley. But some homecoming magic has gotten on the board. Time out of the field at 2:37 to go in the opening half. Is now Benedictine 21, Missouri Valley 7.
Don't let the flu season slow you and your family down this year. Roll on in for an Amberwell drive-through flu shot at your local Amberwell location. You can find a date and location convenient for you and register online now at amberwellhealth.org/flu shots. Drive through to drive the flu away with Amberwell Health. Register now for your drive-through flu shot appointment at amberwellhealth.org/flu shots.
We got 2:37 to go in the first half, and a game, Gus, that 3 minutes ago looked like Benedictine was going to go up 4 touchdowns to none, suddenly has become very different. Benedictine leading at 21-7, and I don't know who's in charge of it here, but whoever it is going to have to probably get a little whiteout and change that longest interception for a return line on the media guided record book for Missouri Valley football.
Yeah, he is. 100 yarder right there for Kobe Windham. Windham, though, is a guy who knows a little something about big plays this season, because if you look back, he's already got a kick return for a touchdown of 100 yards this season.
Ravens twin return men at the BC 5. And Missouri Valley set to kick the football away for only the second time today. And there it goes. End over end, high. Wind is behind it. And it will bounce a couple of times out the back of the end zone. And the Ravens will bring their offense back out on the field. Plenty of time to put together a nice series. Still 2:37 to go in the first half.
So we'll have the two-minute break coming up here in the next 37 seconds.
Oh, yeah. Here's the thing. We're week 8. I'm still not remembering the two-minute break.
I know. I had to talk myself through it that, here in 37 seconds, we're going to do that. Because I always laugh. Everybody stops, and then we're starting to go, what's happening? And then we're like, yeah, that's just that thing.
All right. Ravens getting set to go here.
Hey, Nicole?
Yeah, how about that?
Oh.
What is it? Here we go. Quarterback back to throw on a first down call. Rolling right. It's going to be caught on the near sideline at the 35. Then trying to cut around because Cameron Dover backs up a little bit, and what was a first down is now going to be a second and one. So Benedictine moving the football. They continue to move the ball through the air, and obviously Jackson Dooley not at all dismayed by that interception a moment ago. Right back to the air. And before the Ravens can get this snap off, the 2-minute timeout.
No, We're going to keep it here.
Oh.
Valley had to burn a timeout because they only had 10 players on for the first down play, and Benedictum was trying to race one play off before the two-minute break. Valley was trying to race a player on. It was kind of a disaster, and Valley's going to burn the timeout. Joseph, we're just going to keep it here because after the next play, we'll take the two-minute break. In this ball game right now, Benedictine 32 plays for 272 yards. For Missouri Valley, 24 plays for 114 yards. Jackson Dooley on the afternoon, 14 of 22 passing, 224 yards, 3 touchdowns, 1 interception. For Missouri Valley, Cole Robertson, the guy who all week appeared as the number 2 quarterback, well, he's 5 of 11 today for 62 passing yards. Dalton Witherspoon, 6 carries today, 24 rushing yards. He leads Benedictine in the rushing department.
All right, coming out of the timeout by Valley, and after this play, Joseph, we will be taking a two-minute timeout because we're at 2:04 right here. Second down and a pair. Benedictine at his own 33-yard line. Witherspoon has returned to the game at the running back spot, tailback spot, if you will, right behind quarterback Jackson Dooley, and will take this handoff, and he will be buried in the backfield by Ethan Towers, and we are taking a break. Timeout on the field with exactly 2 minutes to go in the first half. It remains Benedictine 21, Missouri Valley 7.
KAIR-FM, Horton Atchison.
Ready to look and feel your best? Snap Fitness in Atchison is more than just a 24-hour gym. With 3 tanning beds, you can get that perfect glow. Appointments are available Monday through Thursday from 10 to 1 and 2 to 6, and Fridays and Saturdays from 10 to 12. Stop by Snap Fitness at 409 Commercial or call 913-367-1511 to book your tanning session today. Get your tan on at Snap Fitness.
Back with you here in Marshall, Missouri, where the Benedictine Ravens up by a couple of scores. Going to see if they can add something else before they get to halftime here, but just looking now at a third down 4 at their own 31-yard line. Football games, you know, they laugh, and the old saw is, oh, it's a game of inches. It's also a game of, like, one play to make an entire game just pivot, and certainly that interception return has done that a little bit for Missouri Valley. It's up to Benedictine not to let that become kind of a snowball kind of a thing. Third down and 4. Here we go. Back to throw. Jackson Dooley going downfield, and that pass is way too high and well out of the reach of his intended receiver. Benedictine will go 3 and out.
Yeah, so the Ravens forced to punt right here, and that the touchdown came at 2:37. You are kicking the ball away at 1:56. So,
31.
So another short possession for the Ravens. And 4, punter Colin Bruner. This will be his 4th punt of the afternoon.
Warm in his hands, takes a snap, boots it away. That's not a great kick. It is high. It's off the side of his foot, and it's going to take a little bit of a Raven bounce, but still be just at the Viking 40-yard line. So for Missouri Valley, with a minute 49 to go in the opening half, trailing only by 2 scores, they will have the ball, 1st and 10 from their own 40.
So for Missouri Valley, this is a big possession in the sense that you want to take advantage of having the ball right before the half, having a little bit of a wind behind you, and you know where I'm going with this. They won the toss, elected to defer, so they're going to get the ball to start the second half. You know, even a field goal right here sets up the second half to be a much different game.
Here comes the Viking offense, 1st and 10. How about a trade you out here? Quarterback Cole Robertson has gone all the way. He will hand off into the middle of the line, breaking a tackle, bouncing outside, outrunning the defense to the edge, and picking up a couple of yards. So for Valley,
the trade-off here is not a good one. You're eating up a lot of time. You're picking up only 2 yards. That's not going to get you to where you want to go. Rondarius Gregory gets 2, 2nd and 8. Quickly snap back. QB looking, steps up in the pocket. Now eludes a defender who had run beyond him. Crosses the 50 and will come out of bounds in Raven territory and with a first down.
Nice run right there by Cole Robertson, the redshirt freshman quarterback. He was able to pick up the first down, but stayed near the sideline where he could step out the first time anybody got close to him, able to take it into Raven territory to the 48.
First down and 10. Foley moving the ball, motion to the right side. QB is going to roll to the right, looking downfield again. Throws it off balance, and it's going to be short right at the ankles or shoe tops of Eddie Strong. Incomplete around the line of scrimmage. If you're Valley, probably the best thing that could have happened right there.
Yeah, again, you don't lose any time off the clock. A minute 16, it's 2nd and 10. So, again, nothing hurt right there with that play. Ravens are going to have Tim Glazer in along the front and Heath Baker in the middle. You're going to have Kevin Harris. Those are going to be your three down guys. They're going to walk Jared Heron up as a stand-up on the outside.
2nd down, 10 called. Overloading the right side. Quarterback is back. A throw in left. Man covers downfield, and it is caught. That was an absolutely fantastic catch downfield by Malik Brown. I guess the coverage down there for Benedictine was really good by Jackson Hoskins. They threw up the Ravens' best, and it was not Jackson's fault. That was perfect.
Yeah, you couldn't have put that ball any better than the quarterback did right there.
Running pass to the right side. It's going to be taken inside the 10-yard line, going out of bounds, stopping the clock with a minute 4 to go in Missouri Valley. Moving the ball. Fans are getting back into the game, and they're in business inside the Raven 10.
Joey Burke and Blake Castile will check in for the Ravens. Now Blake out there, 3.5 sacks on the season, looking to get after the quarterback here.
2nd down, 4 call. It's going to be a quarterback draw, and he's going to walk into the end zone. Touchdown, Vikings. That was a great – if they called that, if that was drawn up, it was a great play. And Missouri Valley back into the end zone, back-to-back scores on back-to-back possessions, and – they're a PAT away from making this a one-possession game.
Well, that was the first offensive touchdown of the game, right? You had the pick six, and then the Ravens with a quick three and out. All of a sudden, the Vikings able to race down the field, get themselves on the board with 59 seconds left.
Bruno Kincaid for the PAT. Sends it on its way. Got it. Timeout of the field. Missouri Valley battling back in front of the home crowd with 59 seconds to play in the first half. It's Benedictine 21, Missouri Valley 14.
Stop by Atchison Dairy Queen Grill and Chill for lunch or dinner. Try their signature stack burgers or chicken strip basket, original or honey barbecue sauced and tossed. Top it off with a classic DQ treat like a hot fudge sundae, dipped cones, or one of the many Blizzard flavors. All right now at Dairy Queen Grill and Chill in Atchison. Happy tastes good.
Fans guys have grown quiet as Benedict, and it looked like they were really about ready to just close the door on this and go up by 4 touchdowns. The long interception return, 3 and out, and a nice drive downfield by Valley. And suddenly, it's a one-score game.
Yeah, I mean, I think you described it perfectly, right? At the, 2:39 mark of the first half, Benedictine was set to score their 4th touchdown of the first half. Then they throw the interception at the goal line. Kobe Windham takes it back 100 yards, then a quick 3 and out, and then a 9-yard touchdown run by Cole Robertson has really changed the first half outlook.
Here comes the kick for Missouri Valley. Benedictine return duo. They've shortened up a little bit
because there was a penalty after the touchdown, so we're kicking from the 20.
And there's your boot. Ravens are going to get this thing fielded at the 20-yard line. Here comes Jay Sean. 30, Jay Sean 40, Jay Tayshaun bumps out of 50 and stays on his feet, and a penalty marker from 30 yards to in the backfield comes sailing. And let's see what that's all about. You expect a blocking or holding kind of a penalty from back there.
And you've got one down here at the 40, so there's going to be a couple separate things happening.
In the last minute of the first half. So, yeah, that was time to get rid of that. But what was that penalty again?
Yeah, so it was going to be a block in the back against the Ravens. There we go. Okay. They're going to decline the first one because it was all the way up at the 40-yard line. They're going to accept the second one because it was somewhere around the 39, and when Benedictine starts his possession, they'll be at their own 29-yard line. So the penalty after the touchdown really didn't affect the start of this drive for the Valley defense.
So here we go with the Raven offense, first at 10 of their own 29-yard line. We are in the final minute of the opening half, Benedictine leading it by a score. QB back to throw again. Jackson Dooley steps up in the pocket, throwing deep over the middle into traffic. That one should have been picked off. The defender down there, according to Jay Sean Todd, interfered with him. But Brian Sorrente says, no, that was a big defensive play, and the officials seem to agree as there's no penalty down. That was a high-risk pass, cuts into a lot of coverage downfield over the middle. It is a second and 10, Benedictine. Ravens still inside their own 30-yard line. QB short pass this time. Zimmerman will catch it. Stretch forward, pick up a first down, run over a couple of defenders, keeps going at the 40, 45, TZ, 50-yard line. Zimmerman not going to be denied. Turned a first down catch into a big gainer.
Yep, all the way into Valley territory at the 47-yard line, 38 seconds left in the half.
Witherspoon shifting over to the right side, stays in the block, quarterback back to throw again. Dooley will get it away and go to Witherspoon, who stepped out of the backfield, will gain two.
Yeah, and the problem was he went down in the field of play, and so Jackson smartly spins around to the official and says, let's use another timeout.
We're going to take a break here, Joseph. Timeout on the field with 27 seconds left in the half. Ravens trying to get a late score, leading 21-14.
Ready to look and feel your best? Snap Fitness in Atchison is more than just a 24-hour gym. With three tanning beds, you can get that perfect glow. Appointments are available Monday through Thursday from 10 to 1 and 2 to 6, and Fridays and Saturdays from 10 to 12. Stop by Snap Fitness at 409 Commercial or call 913-367-1511 to book your tanning session today. Get your tan on at Snap Fitness.
Well, you got to expect Benedictine coming out of the huddle, he continued to put the ball in there. So they're going to get the ball downfield at least close enough for a field goal effort, which is going to be kicked into the wind. They're going to have to get this thing near the 20, probably. So putting in the air is likely what they're going to be doing. And here's Jackson Dooley, flushed out of the pocket, going to have to run. 45, Jackson 40, goes feet first, but will have gained just enough for the first down. That was a smart play by the junior quarterback.
Yeah, Jackson got just right at the sticks before he went for the slide. Now, that'll stop the clock momentarily, and now they're going to speed it along.
Just enough to get the chain set. Back to throw again is Dooley. Again, he's going to roll. He's going to run. Works it up the sideline, and he's able to step out of bounds after about a five-yard pickup. It'll bring up a second down, and the Ravens need... Gosh, they really, to be realistic, do you need 10?
Oh, they're going to spot this thing down at, they marked it all the way back to the 33.
Right.
So, yeah, I think if you get to the 25, you would attempt it.
So they need, 10 yards, pretty close. Back to throw again, second down. Stepping up, now again, going to run with it, but into the middle of the field of play. And Jackson does not even try to run to the sideline. He will take a timeout. We're going to hang on to it right here, Joseph, as Benedictine is just now working the clock and working field position.
Now, that's a dangerous play, and Jackson got away with it there. But when you're putting the ball into the middle, and if the defense is playing soft like that, you're like, all right, I can pick up maybe another couple yards. But the problem was, he only had 1.5 seconds left in the half. So, again, nice job by Jackson to get down quickly and get the timeout.
And so for Benedictine, here's your decision. How much faith do you have in your kicking game booting into the wind here this afternoon? With the line of scrimmage at the 24-yard line, I don't know why they haven't moved it to 10-yard boxes, but they haven't. But with the line of scrimmage at the 24, your 34, 40, your 41-yard field goal into what is the start of the ballgame is a 10-mile-an-hour breeze. And they are going to go for it. Julie will be the holder. It will be Zach Filippi, the long snap man, and Harry Balke, who certainly has the range, but again, how much will the wind affect this kick? It'll be a 42-yard field goal effort. Down and up. Got the height and the length easily. And it counted on the final play of the opening half. Benedictine knocks through a 42-yard field goal, and we take a timeout. It's halftime in Marshall, Missouri. We'll be back to summarize it for you. The teams head for the locker room where it is Benedictine 24, Missouri Valley 14.
Looking for the ultimate night out? Head to High Voltage Bar and Dance, where the fun never stops. Open late every day of the week. Sundays, join them at 1:30 for bingo. Tuesday nights, get your boots on for free line dance lessons. And don't miss our weekend lineup. Fridays and Saturdays, it's karaoke, a DJ, or a live band bringing the house down. For all the latest updates, check out the High Voltage Facebook page. High Voltage Bar and Dance, 7-Eleven commercial in Atchison, where every night is a good time.
You shouldn't have to choose between the conveniences you need and that small-town feel you want in your banking experience. That's why there's Union State Bank of Atchison. They're passionate about community, and that means offering their customers the technology and tools they need to do banking their way. With options like online and mobile banking, plus My Rewards checking and Real Saver, you get everything that big national banks offer, but with everything you love about a community bank. Visit one of their 8 locations and learn why Union State Bank is proud to be your community bank. NMLS number 654946, Equal Housing Lender, member FDIC.
Good to have you with us on a late October Saturday afternoon for Benedictine College football. Ravens on the road this afternoon at Missouri Valley in Marshall, Missouri, where it's Viking homecoming this afternoon. And Gus Benedictine came out the gates. You know, they didn't start scoring as quickly as we've grown accustomed to, not scoring on the first possession, but a couple of possessions in, they scored, and they scored again and scored again quickly, jumping up 21 to nothing. They were driving for a fourth touchdown in the first half when the wheels kind of came off.
Yeah, that's when Kobe Windham was able to catch a pass that was popped up in the air, taking 100 yards back to the house, and then, what? Just over a minute later, they would get a 9-yard touchdown run from Cole Robertson. Thank you. They'd get a 9-yard run from Cole Robertson. And then the Ravens did a nice job right at the end of the half, being able to go down the field and get themselves into field goal range. And Harry Balke connects from 42. He's had a really good season kicking the football.
And so with that said, Benedictine goes into the locker room with a double-digit lead. You know, it's one of those things that's not what you'd hoped it would be, but it's a lot better than it might have been. And if you've been over here at Missouri Valley over the years, you'd love to have a 10-point lead, you know. Vikings are a good team, and they're going to be celebrating homecoming here this afternoon. That said, we're going to be celebrating the onset not only of this great Raven football season, but the beginning of basketball as well. The Benedictine men on the road to Winfield right now to play at Southwestern later today. And the Benedictine ladies are going to be on here radio with their first game of the season Wednesday evening. We're going to learn about that, learn about the Lady Ravens, learn all sorts of things. And we've got a conversation coming up with head coach Chad Folsom. That's it. It's halftime here in Marshall. The score, Benedictine 24, Missouri Valley 14. Back we go to the Care Sports Studios. Halftime.
It's time for the Taco John's Halftime Show on your home for Benedictine Raven football, Care 93.7. Taco John's. Bigger, bolder, better.
Party pants on, people. Taco John's new 2-for-5 Fiesta Chicken Tacos are here. That's right. Grilled all white meat chicken is ready to Fiesta. Fresh pico is ready to Fiesta. And our Fiesta sauce is obviously ready to Fiesta. Kinda its whole thing. That and being creamy and savory and awesome. Ready your party pants and your eating pants. They can be the same pants. New Fiesta Chicken Tacos. Now 2 for $5 for a limited time. Only at Taco John's. Download the app, earn free food.
Jeff Folsom with us, head coach of the Benedictine Lady Ravens basketball team. Coach, so good to talk to you, man. How quickly do these seasons come around? We're set to go with 24-25, right?
That's for sure, yeah. It is great to talk to you, Tom. That means basketball season is here. So, yeah, we're excited to get started here next week.
And first of all, we'll start off with the conference put together the preseason stuff that they like to do, and Lady Ravens in the top two in the conference in a preseason poll. That's got to make you feel pretty good that they recognize how well this program performs.
True, you know, and I think, we're year in, year out, we're always near the top of the conference, and that's what we're always fighting for. But, I think this year, the two top teams that are on there right now, Grandview is picked number one and us number two. Both of us return majority of our team from last year. We're missing a few pieces, but we have a lot returning, as does Grandview. So I feel like both of us, of course, played in the conference tournament championship game last year together. So, I wasn't too surprised we were up near the top, but, I think that the league has recognized it a little bit.
Well, you talk about returners. You've got six seniors coming back for this team, so that bodes well for, having some experienced players, some players who understand and know the system. And not only that, but just good players and good people. You got these senior group.
Yeah, no, we're excited. We've got a great senior group, like you said, and have lots of experience. And, three of them were also all conference last year. So, just that group alone, we're counting on them to lead us. And they've been doing a marvelous job here in the preseason and practice at being great role models for our team and what we expect on and off the court, and are definitely, bringing it every day in practice.
Yeah, we'll just kind of run through that senior group, at least with Kennedy Nicholson. She has come in and she's spot started for you, but she has been one of the great sparks off the bench that any team could ask for.
Right. Well, I mean, she started a lot last year, actually. So she started, over half, more than that of our games last year. So she's definitely, last year she was the top group one or two, 3-point shooter in the conference. She knocked down 75 threes last year. So she's a flat-out shooter, but she's got more to her game than that. She can also put it on the floor. She's got a pull-up game, and she plays solid on the other end of the floor, too, on the defensive side. And this year she's become a captain, so she got voted by her teammates to be a captain this year, and she's really taken on a lot more of a leadership role for us as well this year. So we're excited for her senior season.
You've got Josie Weiser coming back, and she has also – firstly, it's always nice to have a really close – I mean, you've got a lot of girls from not far away, but she's about as close to home as you're going to be able to get, and she's brought some height and, a lot of skills into this game.
True, yeah. Like you said, she's from Nortonville, Kansas, went to JCN High School. So, she's not far from here, and it's great when she gets her family and all her friends in the stands, for sure. But Josie, yeah, she's a tall, strong guard, can shoot the ball from deep, as well as she's really improved from last year. This year, her driving ability and ability to get to the basket and pull up. And she's crashing the boards like crazy, which we really like. And we're working a little bit on her post game, too. So I feel like she might have some mismatches this year where she can take some smaller guards down to the blocks and take it to them.
Four-year athlete for you, Jennifer Jacobs out of Capen, brings some of that height that you've got in this team.
Right, yep, 6'1", long, athletic, plays a 4-5 for us. She was one of our all-conference players last year, as well as Kennedy, and we'll talk about the next one here probably coming up. But Jennifer, yeah, long, athletic, power forward who can score. She's very good at making moves around the basket. She uses her length to her advantage, and she's got nice moves down there. And, she she's one we're counting on too, to really perform for us. Another area for her improvement we've seen a lot is on the defensive side, which she's getting a lot better at guarding and keeping people in front of her, and those are things we're going to need this year.
You've got a couple of ladies on the team who transferred into your program, you know, and have been there now a couple of years out of Newman, both Lauren Dubert and Riley Rodinghouse, who bring you an inside-outside kind of presence.
Right. Lauren Dubert's a guard. Both transferred from Newman last year. She was all conference for us as well last year. Plays a little combo guard. She's actually capable of playing all three guard spots if we need her there. Just really, again, can score at all levels. You know, really good at driving and attacking, can knock down the three-point shot. Just plays really, really hard. She's also one of our captains this year, as she was last year. Just brings a lot of leadership to us on and off the court, brings a lot of energy. So, we're expecting great things from Lauren again this year. And then Riley Rodinghouse, Riley's a post player, like you said, our inside presence. She's about 6'2", 6'3" post player, and she is long and posts really, really strong. I think her finishing with both hands has really improved this year for us, and is able to go both directions down low. She's also got pretty good touch on the outside and can step away and hit a three-point shot. So she's vocal. She's a leader type as well out there, and, again, is doing a good job at being in that role for us this year.
And rounding out the senior group, of course, you've got Riley Wade, and Riley has been a kind of do-what-you-ask-of-her kind of player, it seems like to me.
Right. She knows how to play multiple spots, you know, the four and the three, and knows what she's doing in any of those spots, which is nice because she really understands the game, high basketball IQ. You know, like you said, comes in and does whatever's asked of her and is a great teammate and a great team player.
Now, beyond those seniors, there are a couple of players who jump out to me only because I think I said their names so much last year, and that is Riley Brueggemann and Nicole Stork, a couple of sophomores who contributed a lot as a freshman, and that's never easy to do.
Correct. You know, both of them, yes, played quite a bit last year as freshmen, and definitely are going to take on even bigger roles for us this year as sophomores, you know, and they've really developed their games, both of them, and we're excited for them this year. You know, Riley's a point guard. You know, can really handle the ball, makes good decisions with the pass. I mean, you got to be ready when she's going to pass because she'll make it. But can also score it, you know, again, at all three levels. And I think really, really this year has worked really hard on improving her defensive side of the game and as well as just, you know, move without the ball. So she's really improved in both of those areas, I think, and is going to be a really key player for us this year. And then Nicole Stork, like you mentioned, plays more of a power forward post for us, a strong physical 5'11 forward who can score it both inside and outside. Again, plays good defense inside and outside. She can guard both and always plays hard. You know, for every second she's on the court, practice game, she's giving it her all. So, we're excited. I think, you know, like you mentioned, those two are definitely going to be key factors with the group we've already mentioned in our senior group.
Okay, so are there any other names we've gone through, you know, that familiar cast of characters that we know? Are there some of the names who we probably didn't get to know as much last year or who are new to the program that we're going to be thinking, you know, we might be seeing some of them out there this season?
Yep, for sure, for sure. You know, I think Michaela Bauman is a name that didn't get mentioned a lot, but she's a junior now for us. She's a wing player. Again, just plays really hard, you know, knows what she's supposed to do and where she's supposed to go, and I think she's going to have more opportunity this year for us, can knock down that open shot. And she's also kind of a lead by example, works hard, and this year has also been named a captain, you know, as a junior for our squad, and the team recognized her leadership qualities, and she's been bringing that every day in practice as well. So look for Michaela to be a part of things for sure. A couple new faces, newcomers. We've got a point guard/two guard from a junior college. She played at Weatherford Junior College in Texas. Her name is Diana Moser. She is actually from Brazil, has been over here for 2 years with the JUCO and now with us, and definitely scrappy, plays hard, good defensive player on the ball, is really getting adjusted, I guess, to our system right now and just figuring out everything that's expected. But she's very coachable and is working hard to improve every day. And I think as soon as she gets more comfortable, we'll be seeing quite a bit of her on the court. And then the other player that's also a new player is a post player named Carmen Morales. She's about 6'3", and she's a freshman, but it's coming to us from Spain. So she this is her first time in the States full-time this semester, and she's been coming along nicely. You know, she's a big presence underneath. She's strong. She can finish the ball around the basket. Again, she's just getting used to the new system and the new way of doing things, and it's always, you know, as a freshman, you get a lot of things thrown at you at one time. So she's doing a good job at improving every day, and I think she's going to be a factor for us as well.
So how do you feel? I mean, you haven't been practicing a very long time, and certainly I know how you coaches are. You're never practicing enough. You love the practices, right? But how do you feel like they've gone so far? Are you pretty satisfied?
We've been going well, you know. I think that we've been progressing quite nicely. What's nice is we're not putting a whole lot of new things in. Like last year, we changed kind of the whole offense. So this year, you know, we've had a little wrinkles here and there, but it's not brand new for everyone. So I think that's been good, as our returners are getting pretty good at what we do. You know, I think our teamness, our cohesion, our chemistry, our family, our familyness about us is improving daily. You know, that's always a strength, I think, of our program, is how well these young ladies get along on and off the court. And that's been definitely getting stronger every day. And, you know, what the biggest thing I feel like we need right now is a scrimmage. And luckily we got one coming. So we, you know, because of our schedule, we only have 4 non-conference games, and we put in an exhibition game. So therefore we only allowed 1 scrimmage. So we're going to do that on this Saturday. We're having a scrimmage up in Concordia, ironically, right, where the season ended. We're going back where it ended. They'll start it this year, but we're going to scrimmage Concordia and Kansas Wesleyan this Saturday, and I think that'll be a real good test for us just to see where we're at and see who we are, you know. And then we've got 3 days, and we play first game next week. So
yeah, that's where I want to go kind of next is fans say – and that's why we got to talk here today. Fans think, well, you know, they think of football and they're thinking it's autumn and it's October. But what they've got to be aware of is October is also basketball season for you. And next Wednesday, they get a chance to see your ladies at the gym at home with St. Mary, which has really become a kind of a traditional season opener for you.
Well, the last 2 years it is, right? Last year we went and played at their place at St. Mary's, and we dropped that game. So we're thankful they're coming back to our gym this year. But, yeah, October 30th, next Wednesday, first home game. We're playing against St. Mary's. It's also going to be a Halloween theme because it's the day before. So anybody who wants to dress up in costume, we're going to have some costume contests at halftime and give out some prizes there. So, but, yeah, hopefully we can get a good crowd in there. And like you said, it is still football season, but basketball season seems to start early and earlier every year. And now we're playing, you know, in October, our first game. So, like you said, hopefully we can get a nice crowd in there this Wednesday.
And then next Saturday – If people are not going to Mid-America for football, they could maybe come watch you again, right?
We're at home again. That's
yeah.
Right. So we open up with 2 home games, which is nice, next week, both Wednesday and Saturday. Saturday we have Morningside coming to town. Also a team we've played recently, you know, a couple times in the last couple years. And it's nice, again, to get them coming to our gym. We went up and dropped a game up there last year, so they're always a perennial good team, it seems like, every year. So it should be a good test, good challenge on Saturday, and that's a 2 o'clock game against Morningside.
And then, of course, you got to, you talked about you have 1 exhibition game that you're able to work into the schedule because of the scheduling limitations that are imposed on you. Then in a week you go down to Rockhurst, and the guys played Rockhurst for years, but the girls, you know, it's not that long-running traditional thing, and probably something you'd like to develop.
Yeah, maybe. You know, I mean, really, we were just looking for an exhibition against an NCAA Division II school. You know, we needed a game in there. We felt like 2 games wasn't enough to play, you know, going to conference play, because conference starts the next week. So we were able to add a Division II game, which we looked around. I mean, I like to play, you know, level up for sure, which is a good challenge. But also, I prefer not to drive 3 or 4 hours to go play that game. So, we them being an hour away, Rockhurst fit pretty well. So, It'll be a good challenge, a good test for us, and another way to tune up before we get into conference play.
And you talk about the conference play. It's going to start just pretty quickly, 13th of November. We travel to Peru, and then right back on the road again the next Wednesday at Central Methodist. And this conference, so good, and it's gotten so big. Coach, I'm not going to lie. It's kind of hard for me to remember who all's in the conference, who's participating in basketball, just who all the conference teams are. So, I mean, you know, it's really expanded. Do you like the bigger conference there and that, the format of how you get to play your opponents?
That's a great question, Tom. You know, in my 24 years here, I've seen so many different teams and ways of playing that you know, we've grown and we've dropped teams, we've added teams and all that. And like you said, we're spread out all over between Iowa, Missouri, and Kansas and Nebraska. So it is a big league. But I do like, you know, the fact this year will be the last year that we'll have a round robin, double round robin schedule, meaning we'll play everybody home and away. So everybody in the conference is playing an equal schedule, which I think is good as far as determining who the champion is of the league and whatnot. But, this will be the last year for that, because then next year we're adding two more teams to the mix. We're bringing in William Woods and Missouri Baptist, so all of a sudden we're going to be up at 15 teams. And that format, we can't do it again, because it takes away too many of our games. So we're only allowed to play 28 games, and right now 24 of them are conference games. So it's exciting. Like you said, our league is good. Our league is tough. So, you know, every night you got to be ready to play. And what also is pretty neat about our conference, I feel like, is that there's all different kinds of styles of play. So every night you got to prepare for something different, which I think makes it fun, at least on the coaching side of it, getting prepped and getting ready for it. I think our team enjoys that, too, that you're going to see something different every night. And there's also a ton of good coaches in our league. So it's good basketball, and hopefully we can get a lot of people coming out to support these Lady Ravens this year.
One more kind of thing I'd like to throw out there. You talked about this, and this is kind of a nice little segue. You talk about having fun and seeing new teams and seeing new places. Honolulu would be a great place to take your team, Coach.
Yeah, I think that would be nice, wouldn't it? I mean, it's pretty sweet. Yeah, we've been there a couple times before, and actually you and Gus went with us one time, didn't you?
Yeah, last time you went, yeah.
So, have you got your tickets booked? Because we're going there again. So we're excited. In December, we're going to play two games over there in Honolulu. Our team's going to get to go to Hawaii and spend 5 or 6 days there, get to sightsee while we're there, as well as we'll play Hastings and St. Mary's from Omaha over there. So we're looking forward to that trip for sure. And, you know, that'll be a big highlight for sure for everybody.
Yeah, it's kind of nice. It's, you know, it's a little tip of the hat to the girls. And it's just kind of a fun thing to do. You talk about the teamwork and the camaraderie. Nothing like living together in hotel rooms for a week, you know, to kind of tie those bonds really tightly.
That's right. You know, and not only living in hotel rooms, but going hanging out on Waikiki Beach and snorkeling in Hanama Bay and going to a luau and climbing Diamond Head and going to Pearl Harbor. So, I mean, we got a lot of things planned out while we're there, and I think the whole experience should just be awesome.
And the experience of this 24-25 basketball season for your girls, again, picked right at the top of this conference. It's got to be very exciting, Coach. We are so excited for you and for the team. And one more thing I got to throw out there. How lucky are you to have such a fabulous and stable assistant coaching group? And, you know, what a great assistant coach that you've got, you know?
You're absolutely right, Tom. You know, I mean, not many programs are blessed with having a great, I mean, assistant coach, but also to have one that's been here for 17 years. You know, Coach Andy Connolly has been with me for 17 years, which is amazing. And she's just wonderful for our team. She's kind of the team mom, and she's nice to have her around and for them to be able to talk to her if they can't talk to me. But like I said, it's been a great to have that consistency between the two of us. We both know what we're trying to grow here, what we're trying to cultivate, what we're trying to, you know, become as a team, as a program. And we have this same understanding of what it takes to do that. So that's been awesome, and can't be more thankful and grateful to have Andy Connolly as our assistant coach.
Coach Chad Folsom, we appreciate your time, and we're looking forward to being up there with you, and encourage everybody to come up Wednesday night, just like a few days from now, October 30th, up to the Nolan Gym, 7 o'clock. Ladies are going to tip it off.
Sounds good. I appreciate it. Thank you, Tom.
Coach, best of luck this season. We'll be seeing you at the gym.
Thanks for listening to the Taco John's Halftime Show on your home for Raven football, Hot Country 93.7, part of the MSC Sports Radio Network. Taco John's in Atchison, bigger, bolder, better. We now return to Tom and Gus, live at the stadium for second half action of Benedictine Raven football.
Hey, with that, we welcome you back once again to Marshall, Missouri, where it's halftime. Benedictine jumped out in front, and Missouri Valley has battled back, but the Ravens lead here, getting ready to go into the second half, 24-14. Many thanks to, well, first of all, Coach Polson for joining us at halftime, and we look forward to seeing the Lady Ravens Wednesday. Joseph in the Gear Radio Sports Studio, Gus Scouts with me up here to my left. Tom Couch here at Greg Mitchell Field on the Missouri Valley College campus.
A stone's throw away from the Bowling-Key Ashford.
Yes, right across the road. Where, by the way, Benedictine has to walk over to the locker room up and do the pregame and back over to halftime and back and forth across the street. So it'll be just fine. Gus, you look at the numbers, you kind of analyze that first half. I mean, bottom line is leading and that's all good, but for the Ravens, somehow deep down you got to be a little disappointed that you have not closed the door already.
Yeah, I mean, you start looking at the stats. In the first half, Benedictine ran 40 plays for 317 yards for Missouri Valley, 30 plays, 174 yards. Jackson Dooley this afternoon, 16 of 26 for 249 passing yards, 3 passing touchdowns. But through the one interception, you say, yeah, one interception, that's okay. No, it was a costly one. It was a 100-yard pick six returned by Kobe Wendham. For Missouri Valley, I mean, you look at their quarterback, Cole Robertson, not having a great day, 7 of 14, only 102 passing yards. Rondarius Gregory, 12 rushes, 52 rushing yards this afternoon. For Benedictine, their leading rusher is the quarterback, Jackson Dooley. But the problem comes down to you had the pick six, you had a quick three and out, you punted the ball, what, 4 times this afternoon for Benedictine. The Ravens are 3 of 8 on third down today, so sitting at 38%, you would like to be pushing that somewhere up around 50, maybe even possibly 60% on third down. Missouri Valley, though, they're struggling themselves, 1 of 5 on third down, 20%. But Valley has just been opportunistic this afternoon, being able to capitalize on some of the mistakes at different times.
So bottom line is, clean it up a little bit, you're going to be fine? Is that kind of what you're saying here?
Yeah, I think that's exactly where we're going. So, again, you played a pretty good half. I mean, you're one play from being a 20-0 game. Instead, it went 21-14, and then quickly 21-14. So,
well, to begin the second half, Valley's going to be taking a football, and Benedictine is going to be set to boot it away as Cullen Bruner, going from right to left, will advance on the ball, put the toe to it, it's high and end over end, and return man is going to field it just inside the 5-yard line. Up the stripes he comes, across the 25, and bouncing outside, finally is going to be stood up and batted around, and they're going to finally call him stopped, although the Ravens doing a poor job of tackling, because you grab him at the shoulder pads, that's no way to do it.
Yeah, especially a shorter return man like that. He was able to shake off the would-be tackler, but the officials did blow that ball dead, and so it's going to be out to about the 32-yard line is where they're going to mark forward progress.
And here comes the Valley offense. It'll be 1st and 10, Vikings. Last year, Benedictine defeated this team 31-7, leading 14-7 at halftime. Let's see if they can kind of duplicate that sort of second half here today. Valley at his own 32. And a quarterback, Cole Robertson, has gone the distance. He will hand off to his running back. No, we'll boot left side. Bouncing outside. Nice pursuit over there by Kaplinger. And there's going to be no gain on that play, maybe even loss of a yard. Blue saw through that and chased him all the way to the far side.
Well, there was a receiver over there in the left flat. He kept saying, throw me the ball. And the quarterback saying, yeah, but I've got offensive linemen down the field, so I have to run this. And no pickup on the play. It'll bring up now a 2nd and 10 for the Valley offense.
They've got this thing at their own still 32-yard line, just underway in the second half. Motion coming to the right, sets the wide side of the field, and the QB will roll right. Looking downfield, hit as he releases the ball, and it's going to be juggled and caught. Did he catch it in play? He did at the 34, so that will be a 2-yard reception.
That turned out to be a nice catch in the sense of he was able to get his foot down and control the football. But when it's all said and done, he only gained 2 yards. So a second and eighth, the Ravens expecting a pass, and they're going to bring in some pass rushers. You're going to see Cole Johnson into the ball game. You're also going to see out there Joseph Abrams, so the sophomore out of Tomball. Sorry, he wears 15 like Jackson Dooley. I have to stop and look at that for a second.
Valley brings in Marcus Stepanoff. He's that big guy out there, 6'5", Canadian. He's been senior tight end. QB's going to step up, going to be hit from behind, and he's going to be drugged down. Great job of the Benedictine defense and Heath Baker. He says, I'm going to make sure that you don't go anywhere. And here's the thing. Some guys are going to grab you and struggle to bring you to the ground. Heath's going to grab you, and you're going to be happy to be on the ground.
Right. Heath is one of those guys who doesn't miss many tackles, and now it's going to bring up a 4th and 8 for Valley. And much like they started the game, they're going to be now set up in punt formation. Back deep is going to be Jayshon Todd.
Punter Justin Bridges from his own 20-yard line. Wait for the snap for Missouri Valley. Benedictine holding the Vikings to a 3-and-out to begin the second half. Now it's going to be a fake. Snap it to the left side, and he's going to pick up some big yardage. 45, 50-yard line. And a 1st and 10 for Missouri Valley as they duped the Benedictine special teams.
Yeah, that time they just snapped the ball to an up back, and over there that up back was Noah Carr, a 6-foot defensive lineman out of Kissimmee, Florida, able to run around the left end. And the whole time he kind of got tripped at the line of scrimmage, and so he was trying to keep his balance. You were waiting for him to go head over heels. But able to pick up the first down before he does that and gets it actually into Raymond territory to the 49.
Yep, cross midfield. Here comes Missouri Valley. Quarterback Cole Robertson and running back one, Darius Gregory. Coming to the line of scrimmage, 1st down 10. Ravens leading in the ballgame 24-14. But Valley moving it on this first second half possession. QB will keep it, chase to the right, and pass is going to be incomplete. And again, Gus, pressure for Benedictine by Heath Baker. He gives it a headlong dive, but couldn't quite get to Robertson before he threw that incomplete pass.
Yeah, Heath Baker, one of those guys this season, 16 tackles, 4.5 tackles for loss, and 2 sacks coming into today's game. You say, well, the tackles for loss and sacks are good numbers. You would think he would be a little higher on tackles. Teams are kind of staying away from Heath Baker's side, and in doing so, you're running more at Jared Heron on the other side.
Here we go on a 2nd down 10, just across midfield for Missouri Valley. Ravens are going to go with a blitz, and the quarterback is back to throw. Steps up, throws pass, caught. 50, 45, cutting into the middle, picking up a 1st down, and inside the Raven 40. That was a nice catch and turn, and they may mark him about a half the length of the football out of bounds, short of the 1st down.
Yeah, he's right on the sideline, and I think they're going to say he's actually stepped out at the 40. And he's going to come over and get some attention by the training staff. And, yep, they're going to say he stepped out just short. So the Ravens are going to bring Isaac Anderson in on this 3rd and 1 call.
Here comes Missouri Valley. Wide to the left side. They'll go with Eddie Strong. They're going to go out there also. Malik Brown, both to the wide side of the field. Wing to the right side, 3rd down, and a short yard. QB will hand off, running back, pushes straight ahead. Where's the spot of the ball? They're not going to give it to him. He's going to be short.
He's going to get back maybe to the line of scrimmage. Great job by Abram Phillips and Trey Williams, the cornerback, able to come up, make the hit at the line, and now it will be 4th and 1 for Valley.
Now, this is the Missouri Valley team who faked a punt way back in their own field, so you got to think that on 4th down and a 0.5 yard at the Benedictine 40, they're going to leave the offense out of the field here, right?
Play clock down to 15.
And they're going to go to a conventional I formation. They got a big fullback in front of the running back. Hand off, tailback, bounces in, 1st down, lots more. 35, cutting outside, spinning around, trying to elude the defenders. He's going to pick up about 10 yards, but it's coming back.
Yeah, I think what happened was as the receiver went in motion, I think he started upfield. before the ball was snapped.
If you're Valley, that's really disappointing because you had nothing to do with that play.
Yeah, no, I just seriously think he was in motion and went upfield. Yep, see? Illegal shift, and what happened was as he went in motion, he started upfield before the ball was snapped.
So for Missouri Valley, back once again into the game will come the punter. This guy's wearing a different number.
Different punter, isn't
it? It's a different punter. I have not seen the ball kicked by quarterback Joseph Lepak. So we got a quarterback back here to punt. Snap is back. Penalty markers stay up again. The boot is away. Fair caught at the 8. But let's see what those markers at the line of scrimmage are all about. So you brought your starting quarterback in, and if there was ever a time when you would look out on the field and say, oh, somebody's going to fake something, it's when you bring your number one quarterback, who hasn't played today, it's been the number two, but you bring your number one quarterback, Joe Lepak, into the game to punt the football. He hasn't punted this year.
Okay, so they're going to say five guys in the backfield, so an illegal formation. So the punt that was all the way down to the 4-yard line, or excuse me, to the 9-yard line, will push it out to the 14-yard line. So they'll tack the 5 yards on at the end of the kick.
So for Benedictine, deep in their own end, they will begin their possession. It's Ravens ball, first and 10 of their own 14-yard line. BC in front, 24-14. Jackson Dooley will send Joseph in motion. Drops back to throw. He can run a long way if he wants to, and he will. At the 15, goes to the 20, runs out of bounds along the near side. Give him about 5 or 6 yards on that first down carry. And if they are going to give him that much ground in the middle, because you'd be silly just to not take those easy yards.
Got a Raven offensive lineman that is having a little problem getting up.
They'll bring a little training crew out there and take a look at him. Again, we talked about it, the Benedictine men on the road tonight. Men's college basketball beginning this evening for the Ravens. They are in Winfield, Kansas at Southwestern. Lady Ravens will begin Wednesday, a game we will hear live here on Care Radio from the Nolan Gymnasium. Come on up. Coach talked about it at halftime. They're going to have, you know, things for the kiddos and certainly encourage, you know, those Halloween outfits to be worn up there. So come on up for that one. Lady Ravens and the Spires coming together on Wednesday.
Games going on around the conference. Graceland leading Culver Stockton 48-20 with 4 minutes left. Grandview defeated St. Ambrose 34-0 today. Baker over Central Methodist 62-7 is the final. At the end of the third quarter, it's Peru leading William Woods 37-0.
All right. BC back in action here. It's going to bring up a second down and short. Hand off left side, and it's going to be Ugorji. Bounces outside, picking up a first down across the 25 up to the 30-yard line. It is first and 10 for the Ravens. So you've got Xavier Ugorji out of Menifee, California, 5'9" junior. Last week, only 2 carries. Today, he hasn't had too many more than that, but he continues to make big yardage on his touches of the football. First and 10 BC from their own 30. Motion will go over to the left side. QB, play action over the middle. It's going to be Gathright. He's going to score. Gathright 50. Gathright 30. Gathright 10. Touchdown, Ravens, as Jacob Gathright leaps into the end zone. Let's just call that a 70-yard TD strike. Jackson Dooley to Jacob Gathright, and Benedictine doubles its lead.
For the Ravens, that possession took a little over a minute. They were able to get in on a 70-yard touchdown strike. And the problem with that play for Missouri Valley was you didn't have any over-the-top help on Jacob Gathright, and he got just past his cornerback. And, again, with the speed Jacob possesses, going to be tough to catch him. And for Jacob Gathright coming into today's game, he was – where's Josh? Josh told me coming into today's game, Jacob Gathright was 3 from Christian Hack for most touchdowns by a wide receiver. So
he knows that gap, and Benedictine's Harry Balke kicks the PAT. And we're taking a timeout. Benedictine stretching the lead. Timeout on the field. We've got 9:20 to go in the third quarter. Ravens 31, Valley 14.
Natty Pine Oil is proud to announce the pumps are now open on Old 75 south of Holton. Member agreements are available in the office. The pumps are accessible 24/7, offering premium 91 octane, 87 octane with ethanol, diet and clear diesel, as well as DEF. Natty Pine is back to their old roots as 82 years later, they honor what Grandpa Fletcher started. Visit them anytime for high quality fuel products and enjoy the convenience of the new location just south of Holton on Old 75 Highway.
KAIR-FM, Horton, Atchison.
Subsequent to the touchdown, Benedictine's kick is away, taken to the goal line. Here comes Missouri Valley. Up the right side to the 10. Penalty marker Sale at the 20. And the tackle made at the 21-yard line. And that marker came from a very long way away. And we're going to see what this one's all about. We've seen, guys, I think too many penalties now. It started off with that, Benny.
So a hold against Missouri Valley from the spot of the foul. That should back this thing up to about the 10-yard line where the Vikings will take over. And start, how about this, their 9th possession of the day.
So Valley will be out there trailing 31-14. First and 10 of their own 10-yard line. And quarterback, I guess it's going to be Cole. Yeah, they bring Cole Robertson out there. I'm still trying to figure out what was going on when they brought Joseph Leepak out to punt the ball that time.
Well, I had that in my pregame notes. That Leepak has kicked the ball 3 times this season.
QB will hand off for any back. He gets buried at the 12-yard line. All night or all afternoon long, those runs, that time by James Phillips, into the line. The contact's made, and they're able to drive forward and pick up a couple of extra yards. But that time, it did not happen at all as Zach Lacombe, with that contact, stops the forward progress immediately and pushes Phillips backward. It'll be a gain of a couple of yards, second down, 8. Valley with 2 to the right and 2 to the left, and a running back in the backfield for Cole Robertson. At their own 12-yard line, second down, 8 yards. Motion will go to the far side of the field, and the quarterback looks left, flushed out of the pocket, being chased, throws on the run. It's going to be complete and caught 2 yards short of a first down around the 17-yard line.
Now, Missouri Valley's been in this situation looking at a 3rd and short or even a 4th and short, but they've kind of struggled in these short yardage to go situations. They're going to bring in the big tight end, Mark Stefanoff, for this 3rd and 1.
Benedictine defense has really shored things up a little bit. And again, you got to understand that 100-yard interception return, not on the defense, okay? Those guys have been really, really strong today. 3rd down and about a yard. Valley short of his own 20-yard line. Running back is going to take it. He's going to hit the line. He's going to hit a lot of black jerseys. And Gus, he's not even going to get close to the line of scrimmage. He's going to lose yardage on this play.
And right now, Missouri Valley just looks like a team who's really struggling to figure out the short yardage situation.
And we're going to take a timeout? No. Thought we had a player down, but now he's up and grabbed his helmet, coming off the field under his own power, so we're okay. And Valley will be punting the ball away. Here comes Justin Bridges. Because we talked about some of the Ravens possessions not taking much time, this possession for Missouri Valley did not take much time off the clock. Fourth down.
About a minute and a half is all that possession took.
And BC's going to get the ball in Valley's half of the field as Jayshon Todd for Benedictine, the return man, standing at the midfield mark. Snap back, helmet high. He goes up to get it, and the kick is away. Jayshon calls for and executes a fair catch. It won't be across midfield. The Ravens are going to have it at their own 47. So for Benedictine,
this possession will begin. It's 7:25 to go in the third quarter, so essentially midpoint of the third quarter. First and 10 of their own 47-yard line. The Ravens set with a 31-14 lead. Let's see, what was that score last year? Oh, yeah, 31-7. So they're kind of in that sort of same neck of the woods, kind of feels like. Here we go, first down and 10, and penalty markers, plenty of time on the play clock. They're going to call a false start.
What happened right there is the linebacker stepped up like he was blitzing, and it caused the Ravens' left tackle to flinch a little bit. They're going to get the big guy for the penalty. Instead of first and 10, we're going to start first and 15 right here.
Going to reset this play clock, and they're going to start this over again. When we get done with this game, we're going to be on the ride home. We're going to kind of be reflecting on it. We're going to say a lot of things about some great plays and some excellent things the Ravens have done, but hasn't been the cleanest game by either of these teams. Here's a pass over the middle, and it goes right through the hands of Longo Fuliano. I mean, right between him and Benedictine. Lucky that that one was not picked off.
Well, and the advantage was that it went through the hands of Longo Fuliano, and he didn't pop it up. So many times the receiver pops that thing up and allows the safety come back across the field and make the interception. Falls harmlessly to the ground and completes second and 15.
Hard count on the second down call, and Julie will now switch it up, gives it to his running back, who drops the shoulder. That was a good, strong run by Dalton Witherspoon. Got back the penalty yardage and maybe a couple of more just short of midfield. Let's call this a third down and long. They're going to spot. They're just going to get back to the original line of scrimmage. Third down, 10.
So for the Ravens, it's going to be their second run of the second half. The first one for Dalton Witherspoon coming at the 6:57 mark of the third quarter.
Ravens in what would be an apparent passing down. You got Jacob Gathright looking into the middle and now backing away, filling a slot on the near side. It's going to be Jay Sean. So you got two fastest guys in the conference side by side over here. Quarterback is back to throw. Dooley rolls out, looks downfield, picked off again. A bad throw, way short, no receiver near it, and the Ravens are going to throw it away. So Benedictine, without an opportunity to punt the ball away, is going to turn it over with another interception.
That time coming over to make the interception, it's going to be Taylor Hunt, the senior outside linebacker, with his second interception of the season. And for Missouri Valley this afternoon, it's going to be their second interception of the day.
And so Valley's going to stop the Raven offense, and 6.5 to go in the third quarter. They're going to have the football back. Gus, and even more important than that, they're going to have it back in really good field position at their own 41-yard line to begin the series. Here comes Missouri Valley. Thank you. Little wraparound handoff. No, QB's going to keep it. He's run this several times, and he's got a lead block right in front of him, that big tight end across 50, 45, 40, 35, down the left side, and bumped out of bounds into the Ravens sideline. That was a huge run by Cole Robertson. And the thing I like about that play is they've gone to it a couple of three times, but I love seeing Stepanoff leading downfield with that lead block. First and 10 to the Raven 37. Valley with a little pep in his step right here. Play action, QB back, going for the pass to the goal line, and it is broken up, incomplete.
Nice job by the Ravens over there, and it's going to be Jackson Hoskins. And Missouri Valley, we've seen them now a couple times today try to go at Jackson Hoskins, and we haven't seen many teams do that this season.
No, they've only done it successfully one time, but that was a big play in the scheme of things in this game here this afternoon. Valley looking now at a second down. Benedictine in front, 31-14. Valley with a football inside the Raven 40-yard line. Call it the 38, second down 10 call. Just a straight-ahead run, nothing in the middle, bouncing to the outside, hurling a couple of defenders inside the 20, 15, and now we're going to have a marker down. This thing's going to come all the way back. And really upset, guys, the wide receiver, Adonis Whiteley. He's the guy with the illegal block.
Yeah, the Missouri Valley coaches don't seem really happy with this one. But it'll back them up, so instead of having the ball down inside the 30, they're going to be backed up almost to midfield. I feel like the team should be about 47.
Yep.
47-yard line.
The game this afternoon so far has never really had any lilt to it. You know, it's kind of been a struggle. Both these teams, they just started getting a little momentum, a little steam, making some headway, and then something happens and seems to break that movement forward. And for Missouri Valley, who's kind of started moving the ball there, now that's broken and goes back. But now the team has really been able to get a handle on this game. Second down long. Quarterback back, throws it left flat. The receiver will make the catch, and very quickly, Adonis Whiteley is going to be tackled out of bounds. It'll be around the 40, they're going to call it the 40, 39-yard line, third down 12. Vikings coming into the game at 3-3 on the season. They are 1-2 in conference South play. The throw on the run is going to be complete inside the 30-yard line, but stepping out of bounds. Where do you step out? Oh, very close to the first down.
Yeah, he's short right there. They're going to mark him down. What? I don't know. Probably about a length of a football short.
Had he known he was that close, he could have stretched it out. But it's a fourth down and a yard inside the 30-yard line. Handoff running back. He's going to be hit and pushed forward. And it's going to be close, but I think because he's gotten it.
I don't think he... They're going to get to a good spot, but I don't think he's got it. I think the Ravens spun him around right as he got hit. And the quarterback's even coming off the field. He's not happy with that play call. He's not happy with the spot. I think this is going to be a turnover on downs.
Yeah, it's interesting to see the body language of Cole Robertson, the Vikings quarterback, as he comes over towards the near side. And now you see running back on Darius Gregory pulls off the helmet. He walks off the field. He thinks he's short. Officials are going to look it over. They're going to bring in the stick, something we see so seldom anymore. Officials on one knee. Head coach Crean is out there way out on the field because he's literally going to be standing right next to the football looking at this thing as they stretch out the sticks. And I'm hoping that enough people are not in the spot where I can see the stretch of the chain. Oh, it's way short.
Not even close. That's
not even close. So the Benedictine defense holds on a fourth down play, and here comes the BC offense. At 5:01 to go in the third quarter, Benedictine giving the ball away on that last possession, but the defense able to get it back. As if they're able to push it downfield now. BC leading at 31-14. You know what happens when you follow and watch a very successful team? Guys, it gets harder and harder to be satisfied with, you know, a 17-point lead. Most people would be just dancing, doing handstands, cartwheels, and going, woohoo, man, we're way ahead, and this is good. And it is all of that. And yet, you feel like they're so good they can do more. They can be better. And we'll see what they do here on this series. We're spoiled. It's going to be a halfback pass. Jay Sean throws one downfield, and it's nearly picked off and incomplete, leaping high, high into the air, trying to pick that thing off for Missouri Valley with Colby Windham, the defensive back.
Now, the officials are talking. Is there a penalty over here on the near side?
There is, and there could well be.
I don't see it. You can't see in front of these Missouri Valley players.
They're very close, you know, to the sideline.
Picking one up right on the sideline.
Wow, an illegal forward pass, which means not only a penalty, but a loss of down as well. I didn't see the illegal forward pass. I thought that it was a lateral. I didn't think that it was like a second pass.
Yeah. So after the penalty, the Ravens are going to be backed up to the 21-yard line. Coming in, you're going to see the other tight end, Tyler Watson, will be in there.
Here comes Benedictine, second down and long, 15. Motion right, TZ, throw will go to him. Tanner puts his head down, runs over the first defender, but not able to get beyond the second. It's going to bring up a second down and a dozen. Zimmerman, big, strong guy, and it took two defenders to finally wrangle him to the ground. And I believe, guys, as you see some of the tents down here, I think the wind is really picking up as the afternoon is wearing on.
Well,
the surface temperatures increase.
I'm seeing the flags over here on this field goal post. They're almost swirling a little more now.
Third down at a dozen. for the Raven offense. 4:15 to go, third quarter. Again, Jackson Dooley's back. He'll set up a screen. Upfield will go to the 30, but not to the 33, as the tackle was very solid. I mean, after the initial contact, that tackle was made, and it was a good job in the middle. Give Brian Sorrente the tackle on the play, and BC will be forced to punt the football. So Ravens have punted the ball a bunch here today, and he combined the punts, okay, along with the turnovers, you know, a lot of possessions.
Four punts already and two interceptions. So this will be the fifth punt of the afternoon. So we're talking about Colin Bruner, who hadn't punted at all last week.
So this is the seventh unsuccessful possession, and this kick is away and will be fielded by Valley at their own 30-yard line. It'll be first and 10 Vikings right there. So Missouri Valley taking it over with 3 minutes and 20 to go in the third quarter. Benedictine in front at a ball game, 31-14. Valley in those home whites here on homecoming 2024 with the pumpkin orange helmet and purple lettering and trim. Benedictine in the black jersey, red pants, and black helmet with white lettering and trim. So many fans here from both teams today. I love that when people show up to support their school, their team. And here's a straight ahead handoff and surging through, getting into the second level and across the 35-yard line. It's going to be a 6-yard gain.
Look down here on the near sideline. You're going to see offensive coordinator Bryce Wick just giving his team that windmill about let's hurry up, let's go, go, go.
So second down, four Vikings at their own 36-yard line. Got to get it to the 40. It's going to be the same play, same way. This time the running back is going to feel like he needs to bounce outside, and a late penalty marker sails. And again, Cole Robertson loves to throw the arms out in the air as if to say, what's going on, what now, what's happened? And it is going to be an offensive hold. And Valley has really, because they've hurt themselves many times today.
Yeah, you start to look at the penalty numbers today for Missouri Valley. That is going to be their 10th penalty of the day, almost nearing 100 yards of penalty yardage.
So here we go. Second down and 13. Valley all the way back to near their own 25-yard line. Inside 3 minutes to go in the third quarter. Ravens up 31-14. Heart of America Athletic Conference men's college football here this afternoon.
You were going to go somewhere else.
It sure was. Almost did it. Here we go, second down and long. Quarterback back there, and he's just throwing it for all he's worth. Downfield, he's got a receiver, and it was nearly picked off. That was superb. Defense downfield, and I tell you what, you got to be proud of Jackson Hoskins. Because why do you keep throwing at him?
Just trying to figure that one out. Jackson's probably excited because it's been weeks since he's had anybody throw it his way, and so he's kind of happy to get a little work, and he keeps getting another opportunity to get another interception. He's got one this year, one interception. It was a pick six. So that shows you guys just aren't going to keep throwing it his way.
It is a third down call for the Vikings. Third down, 14 from back around their own 25-yard line. They've got receivers sideline to sideline, quarterback chased out, rolling, throwing on the run. The catch is made, and it's really close to the first down.
Sure. Right?
Catching the ball, Eddie Strong feels like he's got it.
Wow,
the official's giving him a good spot.
Move
to James.
Oh, he did. Okay.
Yeah, sure. Eddie Johnson, give him the catch and give the Vikings a first down. 2:20 to go in the third. Missouri Valley will keep the drive going. Wide to the left side is Malik Brown. Slot to the left side is Jesse Johnson. These Valley receivers are not easy to hit if you're the quarterback. They are all relatively small. Here's a nice run up the field. 45, 50, 45, left side 40, and rocketing up the field, Rodonius Gregory. There are once you get past the lineman, because this roster's got like three guys that are 6 foot tall. And one of them is a quarterback, Cole Robertson, is 6'0". First and 10. Valley inside the Benedictine 40-yard line. And this time their running back is going to slip. And was he down? They're going to call a late hit and a personal foul on Benedictine.
Yeah, and the Ravens are throwing their hands up. I feel like I heard a whistle up here, and so.
Here's what happened. The running back sweeps to the right side, plants a foot. We've seen this done by the Ravens several times today, and here again by Missouri Valley. Feet getting out from beneath them, and the question was, did his knee hit the ground? The oncoming Benedictine defender was uncertain of that, so went ahead and completed the tackle. The official apparently blew the whistle, and so the Ravens are going to be penalized. It will be unnecessary roughness against Benedictine, and that's a big penalty at an important time here in this drive. And once again, we have the officials convening.
Okay, so for the Ravens today, 6 penalties now, 75 yards. For Missouri Valley, 10 penalties for 96 yards.
Yeah, you start flirting with that 100 yards of penalties, and you're still not in the fourth quarter yet. Vikings are going to have a first down at the Raven 26. And the big tight end's going to shift right, go to a wing, lead the block into the middle of the line, and there's nothing doing there.
That time, Jared Heron closed down pretty quickly, able to get over there and make the stop. Jared, a senior out of Moberly, Missouri, makes the stop, and it'll bring up a tackle for a loss. So they're going to say second and 12 for the Viking offense.
Yeah, it was James Phillips with that little carry. We talked to his family before the game, like Charles, Louisiana. Some very pleasant folks that we talked to before the game today.
Talked to Abram Phillips' grandparents.
Yeah! Love seeing when Grandma and Grandpa can make the trip. But as the play goes on here, second down, ball's going to be caught, 25 and down to the 20, maybe even the 19-yard line. It'll break up a third down 3. Here's the deal, though. Abram's grandparents cannot come next week because they had hoped to maybe come. So they came this week because next week they're performing in the church choir. And so, you know what? Need to go to that. Busy, busy people. Gotta love it.
It's a 3rd and 3, and if I'm Valley, I go ahead and roll this thing over to the fourth quarter, and that's just what they're going to do.
Taking a break. 3 quarters done in Marsha, Missouri. We'll be back for this all-important and exciting fourth quarter. It's Benedictine 31, Missouri Valley 14.
Hi, this is Dr. Curtis Kincannon with Atchison Animal Clinic, where we provide efficient, top-notch veterinary medicine in a comfortable and safe environment for both animals and owners. But that's not all. We also offer grooming services and a selection of recommended pet foods from Hill's Science Diet and Royal Canin. Come visit us at 1401 U.S. Highway 59 or check us out at AtchisonAnimalClinic.com to schedule an appointment today. Atchison Animal Clinic, where service, satisfaction, and animal health meet.
From Marsha, Missouri, in the heart of the Show Me State, welcome back, everybody, with Joseph producing and engineering in the Care Sports Studio. Gus Couch with me here upstairs, and Tom Couch, we are at Greg Mitchell Field. Here on the campus of Missouri Valley College in Marshall. Heart of America Athletic Conference football and NAIA. Great football. And today, guys, it's been an interesting game. It's kind of well played or finally executed. Might be a little bit of a misnomer, but it is hard fought between a couple of teams with a huge history and a couple of teams who both desperately want this win here today. No question about that. 3rd down and 3. QB's back, throws a pass. He was under duress and threw it out of reach of his intended receiver. And you know Valley's going to be going for it here inside their own 20, 4th down 3.
They're going to chase the points. No? Yeah, they are.
Yeah.
They're going to chase the points and bring Bruno Kincaid in with that little bit of a wind moving at his back.
So the normal starting quarterback, who's also a part-time punter, is also the holder, Joseph Lepak. and Bruno Kincaid the kicker. It'll be down at the 27. The 37-yard effort is high enough, but it looks, is it wide right? It is no good. I thought it was wide to the right side. Way high, plenty long, and it is no good. So Valley, frustrating for them, comes up empty. And we are 6 seconds into the fourth quarter. Morningside and Dort, is that a final? Look at that.
Nope. Yeah, so today is the final. Morningside knocks off Dort 31-21.
Okay, how do you feel like that will impact Benedictine and their standing in the national poll?
It'll be really interesting. Because Dort was the number four team in the nation. Morningside will jump up. And the bigger question is, does Dort fall past Benedictine so it'd move Benedictine up, or will Dort stop just short of Benedictine? I will tell you, no matter what, Morningside's moving up.
Here's a first down call for the Ravens. They get a little fancy and up the field. Look out. There comes Witherspoon. He picks up the first down and eight to spare. What a run, Witherspoon. Just right up the left side, straight east. First down, Benedictine.
Like that run right there by Dalton Witherspoon. I have to stop and think between Dalton and Dylan. For Dalton Witherspoon right there, this is by far his best run of the afternoon, just running straight up the middle.
Ravens are going to shift four guys, count them, all four, from the right to the left side of the line. Get him set, first down call. Witherspoon, left side, gets that block, 40, 45, and just inches short of the first down. It'll bring up a second and less than one.
That time making the tackle on the play for the Vikings. You're going to see over there Brian Sorrente. Sorrente's been the safety we've talked about a lot today. It's going to bring up that second and short for the Ravens. And they're running over here at receiver for Benedictine. They're going to run R.J. Brewster out there, 6 foot senior out of Atlanta.
Yep, R.J. comes into the game. Tanner Zimmerman comes into the game on a second down and short call. B.C. getting close to midfield. Quarterback's back, throws one left side, and not sure what the plan was exactly there, but Cameron Dover is the closest Raven to the football, but Ethan Towers was even closer to Jackson Dooley, putting the pressure on.
Yeah, and Ethan Towers is a big guy, playing defensive tackle, 6'4", 240 pounds out of Chicago. Got into the backfield, and Jackson said, hey, let's just get rid of this. That's the guy who has four sacks already this season. That'll bring up now a third and two for the Raven offense with 13:40 left here in the ballgame.
Benedictine, not playing up-tempo kind of ball. They're taking their time, going over to the sideline. It's not like they're utilizing time off the clock because it stopped with that incompletion. They'll shift over to the right side. Now motion back to the left. Hand off running back, slips and falls in Witherspoon. No one was near him. He just lost his footing, stumbled to the ground, and he's going to be short of the first down by a yard. For the Ravens, this is a decision. Do you feel confident? Are you feeling it? Do you leave your offense in there, fourth and one, just short of the 50?
No, you're going to punt. You're going to bring
I'm
Colin
not sure Turner. I do that.
You could fake this. I think really it comes down to your defense has been playing so good today. Why not just kick this ball deep and let your defense do their thing?
Well, they are going to be punting it away from their own 47-yard line. Colin Bruner, the punter, is from his own 32. The kick is fantastic.
Wow.
It is high, hanging. And the catch is made at the 15-yard line, diving to the ground to make that catch. And here will come the Missouri Valley offense. Got to tell you, Gus, I felt good enough about my offense there. I would have left him in and think, you know, I can get a yard. And if I can't get a yard, you talked about it. My defense is playing good enough that I think I can keep you out of the zone anyway.
Well, you know, the Ravens have been a let's roll the dice and go for it kind of a team this season. Today, they've yet to do that. They are 3 of 11 on third down and have not attempted a fourth down today. For Missouri Valley, they are 2 of 11 on third downs, and they're 1 of 2 on fourth downs today.
Here comes the Viking offense, and time is becoming an issue now. We're down to 12:50 to go in the ballgame. Valley trails Benedictine 31-14. If they're going to make any kind of a comeback in front of this homecoming crowd, they got to start right here. Quarterback has the ball, bounces outside. There's an illegal block. There's a penalty markers, 1-2, and a valiant effort by Cole Robertson is absolutely wasted. As he was coming to the left side, a Raven was pursuing him, and a running back just clips him. Do they use that term clip anymore? Remember there used to be clips?
Yeah, not as much.
Yeah, okay.
But is this one of those things that kind of sums up the day for Missouri Valley? You have a real nice play, and, of course, you look around for the penalty marker because you know that it has to be out there. For Missouri Valley, this is going to be their 11th penalty of the day, and they're going to be sitting at, what, 106 base. Yeah, you're going to be somewhere around 106 yards of penalty yardage. Yeah. Well, that's only going to be 8, so yeah, 104.
Yeah, because he's halfway to the goal. They couldn't give him any more. It will be Missouri Valley football with 12:40 to play in the game. Ravens leading by 17. BC shuffling situational players in and out of the game. Luke Kaplinger will race to the left side where trio of receivers set. Quarterback is going to be back, looking left, going left, downfield, got a man picked off, penalty markers on the ground. Ravens going to pick it off, come down the right side, but does this stand up?
That's a penalty in the secondary. You got to think it's a hold against the Ravens.
This marker is at the 25-yard line. By the way, that was a really nice interception. I mean, that was a well-executed, well-anticipated job.
So it is going to be a hold against the Ravens, and that will negate the Dylan Witherspoon interception. This afternoon, Benediction is yet to turn Missouri Valley over. Coming into today's ballgame, the Ravens had 2 fumble recoveries, 12 interceptions, and they had 4 of their 12 interceptions had gone for pick sixes. So,
well, we're going to move this thing, and first and 10 for Valley across the 15. They're still short of the 20-yard line. Let's call it the 18-yard line, first down 10. But what you never get back, guys, you never get that time back. 12 minutes to go in the game. First and 10, Valley. Quarterback again will play action. Flares went over to the near side. And as the ball is caught, the defenders practically got him bear hugged right there. And again, quarterback Cole Robertson, who has been working the officials relentlessly all afternoon, is looking for a rough tackling call, but he's not going to get that.
Yeah, they were looking for some kind of an unnecessary roughness or something against Blue Kaplinger. Your officials decide, yeah, it wasn't that bad. So,
I've seen penalties thrown on tackles I didn't think were that bad.
We saw a softer penalty last
time. Yeah.
So, Blue Kaplinger and Isaiah Haston, along with Javai Blomquist, are going to be your 3 safeties in this play.
Quarterback will again roll right, look right, throw it upfield, and nearly picked off right into the hands of a Raven, and Blue didn't hold on.
Yeah, that time Blue had dropped back into coverage, hit him right in the hands, and just couldn't hold on to him. For Missouri Valley, they're now looking at a 3rd and 10, and the guy you got to be careful of if you're in Missouri Valley right now, is that another penalty marker?
Yeah.
I think it might actually just be a leap. The guy you got to be careful of if you're Missouri Valley right now, you got to watch out for number 21 playing that free safety position. And that's Isaiah Haston. He's a 6'3" freshman out of San Diego. Already has a pick six on the season.
Yeah, that flag just blew off the field of that last gust of wind. So you're right. That's just a flag. And now we're going to get a timeout, Valley. They're not satisfied. Cole Robertson says, nope, I don't like it.
They're going to get the delay of game before the quarterback gets the timeout. So, quarterback Cole Robertson, as he's done all day, throws his hands to the sky and says, well, I guess we'll just hold on to that timeout. What time did Ken have to get out of here? 5:30?
Got to be out at 5:30 for Mass, so we'll see if he makes it. I see Darlene walking down here now. Right in front of the wall. See right over here. So, some of our old acquaintances from Missouri Valley. All right. Penalty for the delay makes it 3rd and 15. They're going to be a quarterback draw. Well, that's not going to go very well. He is buried at the 10-yard line.
That was
about 3.
That was a quarterback draw, and now he just throws the ball up and gets it away from him. That was just a designed draw. And then the quarterback runs into one of his offensive linemen and runs into another one. And his center, Zane Thompson, not really thrilled with him after that play. A loss will bring up a 4th and 15, and Jayshon going to settle somewhere in around the Valley 48.
So for the Ravens, you would expect pretty good field position to come out of this punt. The kick will come from the goal line, and these kickers have been great today, haven't they? Jayshon Fair catches it at the 46-yard line in Valley territory. 1st and 10, Benedictine at the Missouri Valley 46. Again, we've seen so many punts today, way more than we have seen. Gosh, we may have seen as many today as we've seen all together all season. And these kickers have been outstanding, just so good today.
Very few returns. So, another punt right there for Missouri Valley, and Benedictine will get started with their, how about their 13th possession of the afternoon. It's going to start on the Missouri Valley side of the field at the 46-yard line.
Here comes the Raven offense, motion to the left side. Joseph goes over to the far side, handoff into the middle. Boy, there's nothing there. I think they were thinking about sweeping outside. It was not working. Going to cut back into the middle, and Darius Green says, you know what, I'm just going to grab you up and throw you to the ground and make a tackle right here. Loss of 2 for the Ravens, and it is 2nd down as Dalton Witherspoon, absolutely no running room here. Coming into the game, we knew Missouri Valley was absolutely really good defensively, struggled offensively, and they got 14 points. And remember, 7 of those came on the interception return. So the offense is really has won. Here's a pass over the middle. Cut! Zimmerman inside the 25, rambles to the 20-yard line.
That time, nice job by Tanner Zimmerman, just running the seam right there, working against Alan Woodbury, 5'10" junior cornerback, but at 5'10", had no chance to match up with a 6'5" tight end down the middle of the seam.
Now, my question, did you say running the seam or running with some steam?
Both of those.
Because he had all that going on. Tanner Zimmerman moves the ball down to the 20-yard line for Benedictine. Here comes the Raven offense, wide to the left side. It's going to go Cameron Dover, slot Ethan Perrott. Back to throw again. Dooley hits Ethan. He's going to be wrangled out of bounds inside the 15. It'll bring up a 2nd and short, Ravens. Ethan Perrott with a nice catch over there. And again, you notice what we're seeing from Benedictine here, because something that has become kind of trademark this season, and that's using so many receivers. I mean, there have been a lot of guys getting a touch today. With 8:40 to go in the ball game, the Ravens look at a 2nd down at the 15-yard line. 2nd down, 3.
9 different pass catchers today.
This time it's going to be a straight-ahead run, and Witherspoon will be close to the 1st down.
That time, Keaton Fitzgerald makes a stop on the play for Missouri Valley. Keaton, a 6-foot senior linebacker out of Sykeston, Missouri.
Rashad Beckham, Trey Madrid, Britton Smith on the right side. That's the side Benedictine Ranchi right there. Jacoby Hinton, Harrison Schmidt on the left side for the Ravens. And it's going to pick up a 3rd down in less than a yard at the 13-yard line. Ravens need to get this thing to down around the 12. Dalton Witherspoon beside Jackson Dooley. 3rd down call. Dooley will keep it himself. He's got the 1st down and plenty to spare. Goes inside the 10. It's 1st and goal, Ravens.
That's a nice job right there by the quarterback, Jackson Dooley, running option to the left side, realized where he needed to get. He just stuck a foot in the ground, turned it forward, picks up the 1st down.
I'm going to tell you a little, one of the things that you look for and look at, a barometer, if you will, of how things are going. As soon as this play is over, 1st and goal, Benedictine, 9 yards out. Handoff is going to go to Witherspoon, and he'll take it down to the 5. Here's the deal. It is homecoming 2024 here for Valley. It is also the day that they've inducted just before the game and introduced and announced and, you know, greeted the crowd with the Hall of Fame inductees here. And yet the crowd, which is pretty nice before the game for the Valley, is kind of skeleton bones now. 2nd down and goal from the 6. Rolling right, Dooley directs a little traffic. Now he's going to run and starts out of bounds around the 3.
Yeah, Jackson, as he steps out of bounds, Keaton Fitzgerald gives him a little bit of a shove. Jackson, not exactly thrilled with that. And they'll bring up now a third and goal for the Ravens with 7 minutes left.
That's a Jackson Dooley play. And I say that because there are some quarterbacks who would have just thrown it away. There's some quarterbacks who would have gotten near the edge and then planted a foot and tried to run through the defender. Jackson says, you know what I'm going to do? I'm not going to waste it. I'm going to get what I can, and you're not going to hit me. I'm going to step out of bounds. So I think that's like the super smart play from every direction by Jackson. It is third and goal. Benedict inside the five. He'll flare it over to the left side and going into the end zone. Touchdown, Ravens. Give that reception to Dalton Witherspoon. And Benedictson stretches its lead now to 37-14.
Nice little swing pass over there for quarterback Jackson Dooley. He sent Dalton Witherspoon out in motion, just swing him out of the backfield. And then he realized, he's wide open. I'm just going to flare it over there to the left side, get it into the end zone, and the Ravens now push up to a 37-14 advantage.
Harry Balke in for yet another PAT. It's going to be spotted down in front of that, right in the center of that soccer circle here on the football field. And the point after, it's good. Time out of the field. We'll take a break as the Ravens extend their lead. 6:36 to go in the ballgame this afternoon, where Benedictine leads Missouri Valley 38-14.
Kick off the new season with a visit to an old friend, Mueller's Locker Room. Since 1988, Mueller's has been Atchison's original sports bar and grill, serving up great food, cold beer, and all your favorite spirits. Whether you're hanging out in the dugout or relaxing on the deck, Mueller's is the place to be. Locally owned and operated, it's been the hot spot for good times for over 30 years. Mueller's Locker Room, 120 South 2nd in Atchison, your sports bar for all seasons.
You want an assist for that, or do I get an assist for that? How does that work?
I'm getting a rebound and a bucket.
Oh, there you go. Welcome back. Greg Mitchell Field here on the Missouri Valley campus in Marshall, where the Ravens have stretched their lead and kick it away here, taken by the Vikings at the 10. Oh, a nice hurdling move by the return man who gets his way up to the 30-yard line. It'll be first and 10 for the Vikings from there on a Rondarius Gregory return. Just at this level, here's the deal. You got a really capable guy to carry the football. He is your kick returner. He is your punt returner. He is your running back. You know, he's probably going to do two or three other things in the, you know, on your offense. And that is what Rondarius is for Missouri Valley. He is their do-it-all guy because probably one of the best, just straight out athletes out there. Rondarius Gregory, the senior from Nashville, Tennessee. He's one of the few seniors on this crew for Valley. QB takes a bit of a high snap, able to snag it, hands it off in the middle. There's no one home, nowhere to go, nothing doing. Second and 10. And this time, Rondarius is climbing to his feet a little bit more slowly. And here's probably the reason. How many times? That is his 18th carry. Okay? So he's been banged around 18 times with the ball and numerous, multiple times without the ball. About this point, you got to be kind of wearing down, don't you?
Yeah, you got to think so, right? 18 for 76 now this afternoon. He has a long on the day of 20. So he's, I always break that down to 17 carries, really, for 56 yards.
Quarterback's going to roll right, hit that massive tight end who is undefended and is going to pick up yardage beyond the 50-yard line. That was a nice job by Marcus Stepanoff, 6'5", 280 from Ontario. He has not been a huge offensive weapon for this team during the course of the season before today. Only three catches all year for 28 yards. Last week, one catch for three, but he's been a good one here today. I like how he's big and strong.
I would say he's a big guy. I would try to figure out a way to implement him a little more in the offense at a 21-yard reception right there.
I think what they're using him mostly for is a blocker out there right now. He's like a third tackle, you know, who you move from side to side where you're going to be going. And here is a handoff that'll bounce outside to the left, cutting into the middle. Penalty marker sail as the ball goes inside the Raven 45-yard line. We're going to get another hold out there?
Yeah. right on the corner.
And here they come again to talk to us about penalties. And when the coaches get done with this, there are going to be things they love and things they hate both on both sides. What they're both going to say is we hate all the penalties.
That time is going to be your right tackle getting called for a hold.
So let's see where the penalty line here is. Penalties. That is going to be the 13th penalty for 119 yards. 13 penalties for 119. That's for Valley. Benedictine, not that many, but not that far behind. First down, 17. And off straight ahead run and short of the 50-yard line, gain of 4 for the Vikings. But here we go. This game is long since over. 4 minutes to go. Missouri Valley cannot win this game. There's not enough possessions. The only question is, are they going to do something to make themselves feel a little better when they go to the dance tonight?
This is one of these games where when you walk away from it, Missouri Valley is going to say, hey, we made too many penalties. But they did some things early on in the ballgame, like right going into half where all of a sudden they kind of cut into it, made it a close game. But, again, too many penalties, too many mistakes.
Quarterback rides along with the running back this time and then hands the ball off as Rodarius Gregory takes off and tries to turn it up. Raven defense is really honed in now. Even though it's late in the game, it looks like they've gotten sharper and sharper. No gain on that carry. It is third down, and it does, and it's a 50.
I think the one thing that Coach Greenham is going to look at and talk to his ball club about is, hey, guys, we have a few seniors in this team, but a lot of these guys are underclassmen. A lot of these guys will be back next year, possibly. They'll have the ability to come back, right? So I think that you're just trying to build a foundation going forward.
Third down at the 50-yard line. They're in four-down territory. Vikings hand off in the backfield. Breaks one tackle, but will be stopped after a 2-yard gain. He was going to be tackled in the backfield for the loss of about 4 or 5, but was able to slip that defender and get back up to the original line of scrimmage, the 48-yard line. It is fourth down, 10, Missouri Valley. And, Gus, as that happens, we're inside 3 minutes to play. And Valley is going to punt it away.
And they said, let's not give Benedictine a short field right here.
Jay Sean says, just give me the ball. And he's back to field this kick at his own 15. Punter Justin Bridges out of Park Hills, Missouri. He's been a busy guy today. The snap at the knees, the kick is away, and a fair catch called for, made by Jay Sean. It's a 16-yard line. And let's see who Benedictine brings out on the field. It is first and 10, Ravens. As BC, Gus, I feel pretty comfortable in saying, is going to notch their 7th win of the season, go to 7-1 and 3-0 in conference play here today. We've got 2 minutes to play.
Sorry, I was just counting right there. 9 punts today. How many return yards do we have for Jay Sean today?
Oh, I don't have any idea.
None.
All fair catches. This guy's good.
Fair catches and then the one that he kind of kicked out of bounds earlier.
Right.
So.
Ravens go first down. BC's going to switch up some of the personnel here on this last possession of the game. And front of the ball club where Benedictine is going to be, Caden Austin.
Now, the bigger question for Caden Austin, are they going to let him throw one?
Well, here's the thing. First of all, when you look out of the field, if you don't even look at the numbers, you're never going to mistake Jackson Dooley and Caden Austin. Jackson is 6'1", big guy, 6'1", 200. Caden Austin is 6'5". And 215, he is longer and taller, just a very different kind of a body style. And the officials stop the game as we are at the 2-minute timeout. We'll take a break here in Marshall, Missouri. With 2 minutes to go, Ravens in good spot. It's Benedictine 38, Missouri Valley 14.
Party pants on, people. Taco John's new 2-for-5 Fiesta Chicken Tacos are here. That's right. Grilled all white meat chicken is ready to fiesta. Fresh pico is ready to fiesta. And our fiesta sauce is obviously ready to fiesta. Kind of its whole thing. That and being creamy and savory and awesome.
Ready your party pants and your eating pants. They can be the same pants. New Fiesta Chicken Tacos. Now two for $5 for a limited time. Only at Taco John's. Download the app, earn free food.
Coming out of a two-minute timeout, Benedict and with the football, second down, nine call, handoff straight ahead, running it, power running it, dragging defenders and moving the football upfield for BC. How about a nice carry there for Jonah? Jonah Roberts on the run.
Yeah, Jonah Roberts, we talk about the six-foot senior running back out of Windsor, Missouri. Would we decide Windsor's about an hour away?
Yeah, maybe not even. Yeah.
So
here we go, third down and one for Benedictine from their own 25. So Jonah Roberts. Ravens have really picked a lot of athletes out of Windsor, haven't they? Jonah will keep it, get a first down, get to the 30, 31, give him about seven on the carry, and the Ravens are going to move the chains. They only have to do this another time or two.
And let's not get confused that Windsor is some big town or a big 6A type school. I mean, we're talking a smaller school with not as many athletes, so it's pretty impressive that the Ravens have been able to go into Windsor and pull out as many as they have.
Yeah. You know everybody in your class. You know the names of their parents, their siblings, their pet. And you can tell you the license plate number of their car. Ravens are going to go to the diamond formation, snap the ball one time, and that's going to finish it off here in Marshall, Missouri, as Benedictine continues to be undefeated in the Heart of America Athletic Conference. We'll be back to summarize it for you. Final score today is Benedictine 38, Missouri Valley 14.
Knotty Pine Oil is proud to announce the pumps are now open on Old 75 south of Holton. Member agreements are available in the office. The pumps are accessible 24/7, offering premium 91 octane, 87 octane with ethanol, diet and clear diesel, as well as DEF. Knotty Pine is back to their old roots as 82 years later, they honor what Grandpa Fletcher started. Visit them anytime for high-quality fuel products and enjoy the convenience of the new location, just south of Holton on Old 75 Highway.
Atchison Auto Parts is your locally owned and operated independent NAPA dealer. With a team of experienced employees that have a lifelong passion for the auto industry, they provide top quality parts and exceptional service. They are all car guys who care about getting you the right parts. And with locations in Leavenworth and Smithville, they can get that part same day if not on their shelves. Open 8 to 6 Monday through Saturday and 9 to 3 on Sunday. Atchison Auto Parts, 424 Woodlawn Avenue in Atchison.
Teams coming together in the center of the field, exchanging pleasantries, and Benedictine with an impressive win on the road here today at Missouri Valley. Gus, I'm going to start right off with, you know, on the Friday Night Football scoreboard show, they're looking for recipients and nominees for the game ball. Well, I'm telling you, I'm making a nomination for Offensive Player of the Week for Jackson Dooley. 22 of 35, 369, and 5 touchdowns. That's not a shabby line.
You know, but I know you like them. I also like Jacob Gathright, 4 catches, 147 yards, 2 touchdowns. He averaged 36.8 yards every time he touched the ball. It's just, it was a great day for the Ravens all around. Jackson Dooley, refresh that. Is that refresh? To get us to the end?
Yeah.
Okay, so Jackson Dooley not only led the Ravens in passing, he was their best runner today, yeah. Jackson Dooley also leading the Ravens in rushing department today, 6 carries for 34 yards. So, again, what do you end up with? 290, 300, yeah, so a little over 400 yards of total offense, 5 touchdowns, the 2 interceptions. You'd like to clean those up a little bit, but, again, those things are going to happen when you let the ball fly 35 times.
Yeah, and for Benedictine, always hard to go on the road, difficult place to play, quality team, well-coached, on homecoming. You got all those things And you come away with an impressive win. How about this? Ravens 506 total yards this afternoon. Valley with 324. Ravens passed for 369, rushed for 137. Downsides, of course, a couple of turnovers in the course of the afternoon. The Ravens are not going to like that, especially that 100-yard pick.
Yeah, and I think the one number that the Ravens aren't going to like, 7 penalties, 85 yards for Valley. This is a very Valley number, 13 penalties, 116 yards today.
Well, bottom line, Ravens with a win in Benedictine. Advances its record. Again, they are now 7-1, 3-0 in the Hart South. Next week, Gus, it doesn't get any easier. I'm going to go one step further. It gets tougher.
Yeah, definitely going to be your second biggest test of the season, right? You go back to that that Grandview game early on in the season. You're playing Mid-America. Mid-America is much better than, you know, anything you've seen since that Grandview game. So, again, for the Ravens, I was also impressed today that they didn't find themselves maybe even peeking forward to next week.
Nope. They absolutely were well focused on this one here today, and we want to thank you for having joined us. Benedictine with a win. Final score here this afternoon. Ravens 38, Missouri Valley 14. Until we greet you, no, not Thursday for sports. Look, we'll be there. Or Friday for high school football. It'll be Atchison, Bonner. We'll be there. Saturday, Benedictine, and we'll be in Olathe. But before all of that, we've got Lady Raven basketball Wednesday night from the Nolan. So be with us for that next. And until then, for our Matt Joseph at the K-Radio Sports Studio and Gus Kautz with me here in the booth from Marshall, Missouri, Tom Kautz saying so long, everybody.
Thanks for listening to Benedictine Raven Football on your local sports authority, KAIR 93.7 FM, part of the MSC Radio Network. Streaming free on the MSC Radio app and online at mscsports.net.